Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza. 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 Yakuza Kick Radio. Anyone listening? Knock, knock. Listen. This is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen.
Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
You know what I'm saying? My homie J-Cat and the homie Eric.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
Show here on Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yeah, man. Just chilling out, you know, just another day.
How's that wood doing?
Well, it's fine, no homo. For everybody who doesn't know, because that sounded gay as shit, but I got home today. I had a cord of wood delivered to my house that I had to move manually, like the second I got home at 6:30. So, yeah.
You had to move the wood. What?
Yeah, no homo. So that was that. Anyway, it's all good. I figure I'll start off the show explaining some things about last week and letting everybody know where we're going from there. What it is last week we got cut off, so because I didn't formally get to do so, of course I did so, you know, online through Facebook or whatever else. You know, I did thank B-Boy last week for coming on, but I didn't get to on air actually thank him for coming on. He was a great guest, and Billy as always, and, yeah, I'd just like to thank Benny for coming on. He answered a lot of things that we didn't get to hear out of him, and, it was a shame that, you know, we got cut off when we did. There was probably about 20 minutes left in the show. The program we had before, most people who listen regularly know, is it was we were able to go 2 hours live and 3 hours on archive. So what happened was we went about 2 hours, 40 minutes, and then Blog Talk Radio just decided, oh, that's about 3 hours, and they cut us off. So when I was in the middle of talking about something, I didn't get to finish my point, so it kind of left me looking like a douchebag. But, yeah, I'll wrap that up later. But so what we ended up doing is something that's going to benefit us for a long time, and that is it's we changed our program where it's upped more, so it's a higher program than we had before, and now we can actually go 3 hours live and 4 hours on archive. So we've never hit a four-hour show before, so I don't really think we're going to. But now all the live listeners aren't going to get cut off at the end of the second hour.
Well, Howard, you never know. When Billy comes on our show, you never know.
All right, you could go 6 hours with Billy.
Yeah.
But now, you know, we'll be able to play clips, take callers, do all sorts of things in that third hour that we weren't able to do before. So I'm pretty excited about that. So we're launching our new format tonight. Don't know how long we're going to go, but it's all up in the air. We can pretty much go as long as we want to, and that's just the way it is. So that's that. We got a lot of things to talk about tonight. Obviously, you know, being who I am, I attended the CZW show on Saturday. I have a full review of that. I don't think I want to jump into that just yet, but I definitely have a very very good review of that. It was a great show, and I'll get into the details of that in just a little bit. Don't really know where to start. Any suggestions, Eric?
Well, I didn't watch Raw at all, so I don't give a two shits about that Raw fucking program, that WWE program, whatever that program is.
I didn't really watch that either. What is WWE? I read it, so I know what happened and everything like that, and it was pretty much, it was actually a three-hour show on Monday, and it was 3 hours of garbage. What they did this Monday is they decided to make it WWE All-Stars, which was just their way of promoting their video game that came out, and it really had nothing to do with actual, you know, bringing All-Stars. The only old-school guy they brought back was Roddy Piper, and you know, Stone Cold, but Stone Cold's been on TV recently anyway through the Tough Enough stuff, so it's not like a huge, crazy surprise. So that was, you know, pretty much what it was. But 3 hours of that shit, I definitely don't need to sit through. That would have took me another 10 minutes on my TiVo to get through it. So, you know, normally takes me a half hour total. I'm not pushing it to 40 minutes on my TiVo. That's insane. So I skipped out on it. It's sitting all lonely on my TiVo and, you know, don't really care. So that's
you'll
pretty much.
You'll probably be doing that.
Huh?
You heard?
What's that?
I said you'll probably be deleting that real quick.
Yeah. The closer it gets to the following Monday, the less I even care about watching the previous Monday if I didn't yet. So I'll just leave it at that. So I can't comment on much on, you know, something I haven't seen. One thing I definitely want to put out there right off the bat. I'd like to give my condolences to our good friend Billy Graham. He had lost a close friend and roommate in John Romano Jr. He was 37 years old. Due to reports that I've heard, he took his own life. And, you know, Billy was in the same house, and he lived with them, and yeah, my condolences to him and everybody, you know, John's family and everybody that knew him closely. I didn't personally, but, you know, it's a very sad thing when you see someone that, you know, is very close to somebody else you are cool with and, you know, they suffer that loss. I mean, it's never easy. One thing I did see John as, if anybody remembers the IWA Deep South Carnage Cup promo that Billy did, where he did the Fuck You Alabama song.
Right.
Well, the video started out having a fake Undertaker, and that fake Undertaker was being played by John Romano. So.
Oh, okay.
So that's again, it's sad. I didn't know the guy personally, but you know, anyone who's cool with me, I'm cool with them, and it's unfortunately you gotta learn about people after they're gone. But yeah, my deepest condolences, and keep your head up, Billy. And I'm sure we'll be talking to you in no time. So that's what I gotta say about that. I guess I could just where should I go? Well, here's something I gotta get off my fucking chest. Alright. Obviously, you know, I've been saying, you know, throughout the whole season and everything like that, the Miami Heat are my team.
Here we go.
Of course, there's a lot of haters because no one likes the super team of the Miami Heat. No one wanted to see them succeed. No one thought they would make it as far as they did because they thought no way would you get that chemistry down and no way would you get anywhere near the finals. And, oh, Sixers this, Lakers that, Celtics this, blah, 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 blah. Well, I didn't hear Mavericks anything out of anybody. So everybody that's on their high horse talking shit about the Heat right now, let me just make things really, really clear. Now, everybody has the right to express their own opinion. Everybody has the right to dislike LeBron. Everybody has the right to say whatever they want to say. But I just want to add that you look like fucking fool if you're not a fan of one of two teams. And those two teams are the Miami Heat and the Dallas Mavericks. Because me as a Miami Heat fan, I can look like a respectable basketball fan by saying, yeah, LeBron played like shit through the whole fucking finals. Dwayne Wade is still the leader of that team, hands down. People who are calling LeBron the next Jordan, well, let's start with Pippen and go from there. And you still don't have Pippen's titles. So, by all means, I have a good amount of things to say about LeBron's play. I know maybe about it. You know, I can't defend the way he played in those finals. And really, in the playoffs as a whole, Wade pretty much carried them through the playoffs. And you know, Bosh did his part. We had a lot of different, you know, key players. LeBron really wasn't carrying that team at any given point during the playoffs. So that's that. The other team being, hey, the Dallas Mavericks played better than us. They earned their championship. They won the championship, and that's the bottom line. So if they want to go and talk shit about the Heat, well, they were better than the Heat. They beat the Heat. But I'm not going to mention dude's name, you know, because there's obviously a lot of people just throwing shit on LeBron as soon as they lost. And, you know, I like a lot of these people, so I'm not just going to, you know, put them on blast like that. But I'll mention some ignorant comments that, you know, I read online. Someone said, Sixers fan, said, thank God LeBron didn't take his talents to Broad Street. Go Sixers. Well, that's some of the dumbest shit I ever heard because the Sixers lost in the first round of the playoffs. So I don't really – maybe you would rather have lost in the first round than in the finals. I don't know. But that's ignorant as shit. It's just ridiculous. You know, obviously people have jokes, and that's fine. You know, it's all good. But bottom line is the Heat got to the fucking finals. First year with the super team. They're not going to go away easy. Year in and year out, they're going to be a problem in the playoffs. I'm not saying they can't be beat. Obviously they can. They just did. But, like I say, bottom line, you really don't have any fucking merit in talking shit about the Miami Heat when – unless you're the Dallas Mavericks, you didn't do better than them this year, you know? So that's what it is. So everybody with this silly LeBron shit could pretty much shut their face because it sounds stupid. And I might agree with half of the stuff you're saying, but when you close it with a go Sixers or, Kobe this or that. Yeah, and I'll give Kobe that as far as, you know, people talking about the next Jordan. The only person who actually has the merit to even call himself that or have people call him, that is Kobe Bryant. Whether you like him or you don't, I mean, yeah, he's an arrogant douche, but bottom line is, if anyone resembles fucking Michael Jordan in his accomplishments and athletic ability, it's Kobe Bryant. Michael Jordan was a douchebag, too, so it really doesn't make a difference. But, yeah. So that's my piece there. Let's get back to some wrestling. Where should I go from here, Eric? Should I jump into the CZW world?
CZW.
All right. I guess I'll get into the show. All right. Well, the show started off, as we had, you know, previously mentioned last week, that, you know, there was nothing announced as far as a world title. So the show started with the Ego Robert Anthony coming out, you know, addressing the crowd. He came out with a pinata and a birthday balloon, because it was his birthday, and he came out, and they had the kid, Kit Osborne, in the ring, and he was out there, and he was pretty much telling, you know, saying he wants a fight, he's scheduled for a match, and Ego pretty much told him, yeah, you know, get out of here, dude, I'm giving you the opportunity, just leave, you know, just... I'll forfeit the match, and you could say you beat me, and you could run back to your hometown, say you got the chance to beat Robert Anthony, because I don't even want to be bothered with you. So the kid ends up smacking Ego, and Ego just proceeds to beat the shit out of him. It's like a 30-second squash. He powerbombed him, just like bounced him off the mat like at least three times, and then hit him with the finish, and the kid was dead. So that was that. Then, of course, he grabbed the mic, and he called out Devin Moore. Out comes Devin Moore. Devin tells him, you know, I already beat you twice, and there's no reason for you to get another title shot, and which makes Robert Anthony attack him. So then they brawl a little bit through the crowd. They end up in the balcony where, you know, they're teasing Devin Moore is going to throw him off the balcony through two tables. So what ends up happening is Philly's Most Wanted gets up there. They jump Devin, and they throw Devin off the balcony through two tables. So that's how they started the show. And that's pretty much how they did the thing. You know, that's how they started
you
the show.
Marked,
that was
you probably marked the hell out.
Yeah, I mean, it was a crazy way to start the show. Devin definitely missed the first table, but, you know, thank God he hit the second one, so that way, you know, that's how that show started. So, off of that, then we went, our actually first match of the night is we had, well, I guess the other one was a match, but that was pretty short. We had the new blackout of Alex Colon and Ruckus. Defeating the Runaways. You know, it was what it was. Alex Colon is still, as I've said in the past, just off. Not terrible, but he's kind of just off from what he's trying to do. His moves, his arsenal doesn't really connect 100%. You know, it's almost there. That's like what I see with his thing. What are you doing over there? You drop kicking the phone?
No. I'm trying to get my cords from my computer fixed.
You sound like you're doing fucking push-ups or jumping jacks or some shit. You're breathing and banging and fucking cowbells and I don't know. So anyway. Then after that, we had what they called Young Athletes Rising Fast Match. It's kind of wordy, but you had Ryan McBride beating Akuma, Ty Hagen, Ricky Reyes, VSK, and Ryan Eagles. I haven't seen VSK before this match. He was actually pretty impressive. He had a good high-flying, you know, arsenal and everything. This was for the number one contender to the CZW Wired Championship. So, it was pretty fast-paced. A lot of spots, a lot of, like, quick-moving. Really good shit. I liked the match quite a bit. It went really well. And this was actually the first time in a while that I've seen them actually use Ty Hagen as if they cared about him. And they actually gave him offense. He really, you know, he was working fast. He was working as if he was, you know, part of the match. Like, usually they'd just been burying his character for the past year at least. And you actually believed that this guy was going to win this six-man match. Like halfway through the match, it was like, Ty's winning this match. Wow, they're actually putting him over. And he didn't win the match. Ryan McBride ended up coming out on top. But, I mean, bottom line is they actually gave him somewhat of a rub to, you know, let him show his talents and actually compete as if, you know, you think he might win. So that was pretty cool. They've been running an angle for months now where Akuma would lose. Akuma started out on like a hot streak and just never lost. And then that was followed by Akuma losing several, I think starting with Best of the Best.
Yeah.
And he lost his match there, and then he continued to lose matches. Well, every time he lost matches, they ran an angle where Kimberly would flip out, scream in his face, smack him, and all that stuff. And honestly, like, I never held any value for Kimberly until she started doing that shit, because it showed personality. It showed that she's able to carry an angle and work something that you can actually believe. You know, like, she played a role. Instead of just standing there in fishnets, she actually played a role, and you believed, like, wow, oh, man, this bitch is going to freak out on him if he loses this match. And sure enough, he loses the match, and she looks fucking livid. She comes in there, she smacks the shit out of him, and, you know, of course, the whole time you got to know that he could crush her, and this is, like, a dangerous situation. So it worked well as an angle. Well,
right.
He finally had enough of that. He grabbed her. He hit her with the, what the hell is that move called? That it's like a tombstone into like a front lung blower thing. It's like
right.
A Tenchi crash or something like that. Yeah, I think it's the Tenchi crash. But so that was that. Kimberly was off to the back. Da da da. So, don't really know. I hope they have, like, another plan for her, because she actually just turned the corner and became, like, a, you know, a well-used personality, you know, for the way that she's doing. So, you know, that was that. Hopefully she'll come back with another heel, and now I guess Akuma's now face, I'm guessing. And, yeah, so it went from there to one of the best matches of the night. No surprise to me, you know, calling it that, as, you know, my favorite actual wrestler in CCW is Sami Callihan. It's really no secret. So Sami took on Jake Crist. He defeated Jake Crist. Jake Crist is unbelievably talented. This was such an awesome match. It was very even, back and forth. They worked real heavy on Jake Crist using an armbar. And he kept locking it in every chance he can get. And you really didn't know whether, you know, Sami was going to tap or not. It was back and forth, hard hitting, you know, drop on their head moves. It was really good. I hope they keep bringing Jay Chris back, because he's tremendous. And then in our first DJ putting himself over appearance of the night was when DJ Hyde came down after the match as, you know, Sammy's congratulating Jake Crist for a good match and, you know, point at him and everybody's chanting, please come back and all that stuff. So then Adam Cole and them come down to verbally attack Callahan, and he's got his attention over there, and DJ Hyde lariats Sammy. So then Jake Crist comes over, and then he gets attacked by him, and then you know, the whole thing. It's just DJ, again, has to be in the spotlight, even though it's really completely unneeded. Well, we continue that role, and because he's already in his singlet, or you might want to call it, like, his sausage uniform, because in my opinion, DJ Hyde is built like a sausage, so that's kind of what it makes him look like. Anyway, it was DJ Hyde versus Little Mondo for Little Mondo's chance to get into Tournament of Death. Well, Little Mondo, you know, I've known this guy since he was, I don't even know, 10. I mean, he was a tiny little kid when I first started going to CZW in 2001. And he would dress up like Nick Mondo, you know, and that's where he got the moniker Little Mondo. And, you know, so people would get used to it. And, you know, they chant Little Mondo and all of that. Nick Mondo even, you know, acknowledged it and was putting him on his shoulders and all that stuff. So he was complete dressed in Nick Mondo garb every single month showing up. And he was with his big brother, Drew Gulak. So, they, you know, and eventually when he became a wrestler, he just came out dressed as Nick Mondo. He didn't work like Nick Mondo, but he did the taunts and everything. And old school CZW fans knew who he was just by, you know, seeing him over the years. So, but he was always this really cool cat. Well, just recently he decided to take the turn and actually become more of a Nick Mondo wrestler. And they ushered out like 3 or 4 shitty promos last month, and it just didn't make any sense. But I knew, I mean, if that's what he was looking to do, he was going to come out there and impress, and he definitely did. He took a lot of risks. He took bumps all over the floor. He just got thrown through glass and barbed wire. I mean, he busted his ass, and I was definitely pulling for him to get into the Tournament of Death and see what he could do. But unfortunately, you know, and on top of that, now, honestly, I understand, like, he's not just going to come in and go over DJ Hyde, because DJ Hyde's been there. He's supposed to be the owner of the company. So if a guy that's never worked a death match before comes in and beats DJ, it looks bad, you know. So I understand that. However, they did have Greg Excellent come in, hit his finisher on DJ, and DJ still gets the win as a heel. And that makes all of no sense. So Little Mondo's not in Tournament of Death. But big shout out to him for doing, you know, great work out there. That was followed by Pinky Sanchez's music hits, All the Glass is Still in the Ring, everything like that. Pinky dances around the ring for what feels like an hour, but probably 10 minutes of dancing Pinky around the ring. DJ's just like pouring blood out of his head, standing there looking like a bleeding sausage. And, you know, he gets in and he's like, I want a spot in Tournament of Death. Obviously, Little Mondo didn't get in, so I want to be in. DJ, you know, just speaks far, far more than he needs to. But it finally gets around to, well, you're going to have to earn it. And then he's like, oh, you know, is anybody around that wants to get in the Tournament of Death? So eventually, after an awkward pause, the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont, makes his debut. He comes out. And they have a really good match, and you know, it worked really well. And yeah, I mean, again, they busted their ass back and forth, and yeah, it was it was good. Matt Tremont came out on top, so he's going to be in Tournament of Death which DJ Hyde shortly after informed him, not only will you be in Tournament of Death, you'll be in Tournament of Death against the one and only Necro Butcher. So first round, Matt Tremont, and I'm going to get into the stipulations of that match and how fucking stupid it sounds, but not yet. I'm just going to continue with this card for now. So yeah, he'll be wrestling the Necro Butcher. First round, Tournament of Death. Should be insane. So we continue our role of death matches. I mean, this is, you know, death match after death match. This show had, I believe, 4 death matches. This next match was Ultraviolent Rules, Danny Havoc defending his CZW Ultraviolent Championship against 13. Another just crazy match. Tons of just, I mean, smashing shit and going through shit, like, just brutal match. Danny Havoc retained his title. He will be in Tournament of Death as well. And I believe 13 will be in Tournament of Death as well. I believe. I'm going to have to double check on that. But so then I believe after that was intermission. We come back from intermission, and Adam Cole defends his title against Jonathan Gresham. So that's just what he did. Wasn't a bad match. Like I said, it wasn't really like an earned title shot, and it wasn't Jonathan Gresham's a hell of a competitor. He really is. He knows how to keep fucking pace with anybody he's in there with. He's one of those guys that he makes the other guy look so much better. And for his size, because he's a pretty short little guy, but man, he's got intensity. He's got just very, very stiff. I mean, he's quick. Very, very good guy to have in the company. I'm glad to see him on the card every month. So he didn't win, but either way, that's pretty much what that is. Next match was the wrestling match of the night. Now, I'm not talking death matches because the main event was definitely the total match of the night, but that was a death match. Straight up wrestling match of the night, and I just gushed over the Sami Callihan match earlier, and that would be my second runner-up, but however, match of the night was Kyoko and Inoue defeating Sumi Sakai. These women tore shit up. I mean, you really, it's hard to even put into words because it's just, this is what women's wrestling needs to be. This is what women's wrestling is all about. See, the problem I have with what happens to women's wrestling a lot of times is it becomes, well, that was pretty good for a girl, or that was pretty good for a woman's match. These two women outworked all the men on the card. I don't think that that's something that should be unexpected. I think, these two were legends in Japan, so it's really no surprise that they did this type of thing. But the Mercedes Martinez, Sara Del Rey, there's so many other women, and they're able to work hard enough to be put up there with the top talent. And, when they're able to work these matches and they're right on par with everything else on the card, that's how, the women's wrestling would get the respect it deserves. Because, I mean, this match was stiff. This match was fast. You can't believe, because a lot of just ignorant marks out there and stuff when Kyoko came out, she's a bigger woman, but, she came out in her, come to the ring garb. So when she took the robe off, you heard a few douchebags in the crowd go, ooh, she was so big they couldn't handle it. I'm sure they're all in phenomenal shape. But either way, halfway through the match, you didn't hear any of their oohs anymore. You seen people popping left and right because the fact of the matter is, she moved lightning fast. I mean, she moved as fast as any cruiserweight that you can see in the ring. This was it was just unbelievable. It seriously, she moved so fast that you would think that she was, Sumi Sakai. Sumi Sakai, it was the classic, big wrestler versus little wrestler matchup. But when it came down to it, the big wrestler was lightning fast, moving just as quick as the small wrestler when it came to the head scissors and the roll throughs and the, all the different things and the quick, pinning exchanges and those type of things. Lightning fast. And Kyoko Inoue, she pretty much came over here to do autograph signings, a few appearances. She worked the CZW show. And it was all mostly, this is the first time she's been over here in 16 years. She actually ran a brief spot in WWF back then, but that was 16 years ago.
And I bet you want her back in CZW.
Oh, of course. But, I mean, it's unbelievable that they got her to begin with, and I'd be really surprised to just see her back on some random thing. I mean, a woman who hasn't been here in 6 years does a tour for some appearances and signings and this and that. What her whole purpose was, too, is to promote her new company that she launched in Japan, and that's Pro Wrestling Diana, it's called. And she recruited a lot of people.
Let me just say that right now. Do you know what Diana stands for, or is it just...
No, I have no idea. Do you?
I'm wondering if it has any meaning to it.
No, I there may be, but I'm really not aware of it. But what it is you know, she recruited a lot of people from over here. She got Antisocial. She got, you know, a bunch of women from over here. She ran a seminar, I believe, on the Sunday after CZW. And, you know, for any women's wrestlers, you know, that wanted to actually learn and possibly, you know, get a spot over there. So it's really awesome to see her over here. I've never been privileged to see her work over here live or anything like that. I was really unfamiliar with her until this show. And now I'm going to go out of my way to seek out a whole lot more of her work because she's unbelievable. And Sumi Sakai has always been a really, really underrated women's wrestler. She's, you know, super quick, you know, cruiserweight. She worked perfect. I mean, it was just such a great match back and forth. Kyoko ended up winning with a power bomb that would, you know, fold in half most dudes too. You know, it was just a great match. I highly recommend, you know, if it's a wrestling match that you're going to get this show for, I recommend it for that one, the Sami Callihan match, those ones. So that's that. Next matchup, we had AR Fox defeating Drew Gulak to win the CZW Wired TV Championship. So we have a new champion there, and I think AR Fox is really going to get that title a lot more well known than Drew did. No disrespect to Drew, however, I just think he's got a lot more flash. He's got a lot more style that's going to really make it stand out. So that should be really good in the future to look forward to. Next up, we had the CZW Tag Team Championship defended by Philly's Most Wanted, defeating Azrael and Bandido Jr. It was a good match. You know, he had Ego, you know, distracting the referee here and there and, you know, interjecting himself. And then, you know, Devin Moore got involved trying to, you know, even the odds and everything. Well, at the end of the match, Philly's Most Wanted and the Ego, Robert Anthony, challenged in a non-tournament match, a tournament of depth, Devin Moore. And they said, well, we challenge you for, you know, a tag match. But if you can't find no partners, it's a handicap match. So Devin Moore has been challenged.
I don't really like the non-tournament matches from that tournament bets or, you know, they should be tournament matches.
Well, you need non-tournament matches to break up the tournament. You always do, whether it's best of the best or tournament of death, because bottom line, you know, you can't just continue to work one after one after one after one after one. I mean, it's impossible to do. You know, eventually you're working a match, you're turning around and going back out there. The guys are going to get winded, and, you know, with tournament of death, they're suffering such severe injuries and, you know, cuts and, you know, the bleeding. I mean, you got to have time to get your shit together in the back, you know, so I understand it. So Devin Moore has the challenge of finding two partners to face Philly's Most Wanted and the Ego, Robert Anthony, non-tournament at tournament of death. So kind of looking forward to who he's going to get. You have any guesses, Eric?
I don't know. We'll see what happens. You might be there. You might be in the match.
I'll be in the crowd.
No, no, no. You're teaming with Devin. You're teaming with Devin.
No, no. I'll be on the other side of the guardrail, front row, taking pictures. chilling. That's what that is.
Hanging with
here,
DJ.
Yeah, of course. My buddy, the sausage. Then next up we had the main event, which is a tables, ladders, and chairs match, as well as many other things that got involved in that match. And that was Scotty Vortex beating the Golden Boy Drake Younger to get a spot in Tournament of Death. Now, this match featured Kenzans. And for those of you who don't know what Kenzans are, these are, I believe they're used to make flower arrangements, primarily in Japan. They're small metal discs or squares, and it's like a porcupine. It's just nothing but probably about inch-long spikes, roughly about inch-long spikes, like very, very close together inch-long spikes. Well, one of the spots that they did last year in Tournament of Death is they put one, well, actually, they did it, two of them. They put two on top of, I think one at a time. They put one on top of Abdullah Kobayashi's head and pounded it into his skull with a chair. Well, Scotty did that to Drake. And that's no joke. I mean, this is not a thumbtack. This is a whole lot longer than a thumbtack, a whole lot more severe than a thumbtack. So it's just unbelievable stuff to see. I mean, you can't even understand what would possess someone to agree to that or, you know, have that happen because it's, my God. When you saw the footage, the backstage footage of Abdullah Kobayashi getting him removed from his head, I mean, it took all the might and, you know, like the tongs, like the medical tongs, and just yanking and yanking and pulling and yanking and, oh, my God, just brutal. I mean, you can't even believe that this would go on. I mean, the pins are long enough that they definitely had to go into his skull. Your skin isn't that thick on your head. So they had to be, like, in the bone. It's just mind-blowing. So I saw that last year, and then it happened again with Scotty hitting Drake with that. Well, after this match, a tremendous match, like I said, Scotty came out with the win. There was a really tall ladder. They did spots with that. It's just nonstop, just crazy, crazy spots the whole match. Too many to even describe. That's one I'll definitely, you know, highlight for anybody. That's where that was. After the match, Drake said, this needs to end. This feud needs to end, and no, Nick Gage did not have him in his head, have them in his head. Nick was the one that hit him at the chair to embed them in his head, but he didn't have them in his head. Drake did is he challenged, first time in CZW, he challenged Scotty for August because he's not going to be there in July. I'm not the biggest kayfabe guy, so, but either way, Drake is actually going to have his child any minute now, pretty much due very soon. So, you know, within the month of July, he's going to have his baby, you know. So, you know, having his daughter and everything like that, you can fully understand where Drake would take the month off. He'll be back in July. He challenged Scotty, first time ever, two-ring circus death match in CZW in August.
How the hell are they going to get two rings in the arena?
They've done it before. Cage of Death 5.
But that was before when they had the big ass, before they had all the renovations to the arena.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You can get two rings in there. You know, they're going to be right next to each other, sandwiched next to each other. It'll be no problem. But, yeah, it's going to be tremendous. I've never, ever seen a Circus Death match live. I've seen JC's Circus Death matches on DVD many, many times. They were incredible. The thing that is often done wrong with a Circus Death match, like what was done wrong with the JC Circus Death matches, they only brought one ring. So what it is there's barbed wire laced across the top of the ring. So you can't use the ring because there's like a solid net of barbed wire over the entire top ropes. Like it's like a net, a complete net. So you can't work in the ring unless you're like 3 foot tall. Like you'd never be able to walk around in the ring. There's a, you know, top rope is covered. So, that's what that is. So it was always hard, and it pretty much was like, brawl around the ring, climb up the thing, fall into it, get out, climb up, fall into it, get out. Well, now with two rings, they'll be able to do a lot more spots. They'll be able to do a lot more actual in-ring work and then top it off with the big high spots of doing the off the scaffolds or whatever, I'd imagine scaffolds, to go into the Circus Deathmatch ring, you know, with the net.
Right.
So yeah, it's going to be incredible. You know, to have Tournament of Death going on the 25th. You're going to have the July show, and then the following month you're going to be it's nothing but ultra violence this summer.
You might even see me at Tournament of Death.
That would be a surprise, Eric. God tell you, that would definitely be a surprise. So, I'll look forward to it. So, all right. I've talked for quite a bit. Now I definitely feel like I got to take a break.
Well, real quick.
Okay.
Did you get my message in the chat?
No, I didn't.
Real quick. You know, last week we had the show and, you know, a request. Somebody wanted to know what you thought of the B-Boy interview.
Who requested what?
Somebody, I'll tell you in the chat, wanted your thoughts of the B-Boy interview last week. Because, he wanted to know what you thought of what he said.
Did B-Boy ask?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was phenomenal. Yeah, I actually said that to start the show. If you're listening, B-Boy, thank you very, very much. I was thrilled with it. I really was. I'm sorry we got cut off like that. We had actually, since last week, upped our service, so now we can actually go 3 hours live, 4 hours on the archive, just because we're not trying to get cut off like that again. And, thank you very, very much again. And, 40 live listens, 46 live listens. You definitely still pack a crowd, Benny. Definitely still put asses in the seats, whether they're listening to a radio show or watching a match. So thank you again, man. So that's what that is. What do I take a break with? Well,
we also have a caller on the line, and I'll find out who that is when we come back.
Okay, well, let's do this. Let's play my man Sig is doing his review of Avatar. Sig is always hilarious. And when we get back, we'll see what else is going on.
This is another episode of Angry Black Man Reviews, and tonight we will be reviewing Avatar by James KKK Cameron. I'm not going to recap the entire story. If you want to know what the story is about, go to Wikipedia, type in Avatar James Cameron, the film will come up. I'm going to just jump right into the debate about what kind of movie this is. So don't start, I don't know what he's talking about. All the blue people are 10 feet tall. 10 feet tall. Does this remind you of all the black NBA players they have? Kobe, Michael Jordan, Shaq.
I was in the movie Avatar. I was playing a character called Cousin.
Oh, shit. All they needed was some fried chicken Kool-Aid, and you could have called this Barbershop 3. There was one scene in the movie where the blue people was beatboxing. I'm blue when it's whole wind. Everybody know I go to the street and I get real low. And it's a good movie, though. I ain't lying to you. All they needed was a king and a disc in their lip, and they could have called this Coming to America 2. Bitch was wearing hairnet. And another thing that upset me about this movie was the casting choices. Now, I know they was making fun of black people during the movie. Maybe not making fun of them, but it was basically about Africa, the Na'vi tribe. I got over that fairly quickly. But I went online to see the casting choices for the Na'vi tribe and for the Army tribe. Army tribe, I'm retarded. And for the Army, you know. So I go online and I go to the casting, go to Wikipedia. All the people that was on the Na'vi tribe are all black actors. So they got black people to play the blue people that was acting like black people. All the cast members for the Army were all white. All of them white, except one woman. She was a Latina. All of them white. Except for one person for the Na'vi tribe, he was an Asian or Caucasian Asian or something. I don't know what he was. If you're going to make a film lampooning black people, don't get black actors to play the black people. Spice it up. Get some Latinas, get some white people. I would have loved to hear a damn crazy English accent as one of the Na'vi tribe members. Oh, smashing heroin. I would have loved to see something like that, but no, 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 no. All the damn actors are all black. Black. There was one scene in a movie where they was wearing red and blue do-rags talking about this my set. The Na'vi tribe was all sitting out eating popcorn watching the episode of Maury. I knew the movie film was about black people. I knew it because as soon as one of the Na'vi females got her hair wet, she lost her damn mind. She was like, I know this dude did not just get my hair wet. Let's compare the Na'vi tribe to black people. Black people. Most of us have big noses. Na'vi tribe. Big ass noses. Their noses were so big that you could attach a hose to their nose and they could suck up all the dirt in your room like a vacuum cleaner. The Na'vi tribe. I have amazing agility. Black people. You ever saw an NBA game? Black people running up and down, 2-3 hours nonstop. Na'vi tribe. Wear wool, little skirts. Black people. You ever go to the club? What the females be wearing?
Shake that ass. What?
The Na'vi tribe. Tattoos all over their body. Black people. Tattoos all over their body. I saw a female that had 2 guns right here. I said, why you got 2 guns right here? She said, just in case a man want to grab one of my breasts. I'll tell him it's cocked and loaded. Na'vi tribe. Bushy ass hair. Black people.
Hey, everybody. I'm on Wikipedia on Avatar, the film. I'm on Wikipedia, a free encyclopedia about information. And we're on the casting for this movie, Avatar. Let's take a look at the cast to prove my point. The humans, the army, basically the humans that's in the film. Sam Worthington, why? Sigourney Weaver, why? Michelle Rodriguez, Latina, why? Giovanni, something I can't spell because I didn't graduate high school. Why? Joel David Moore, why? Stephen Lang, why? This dude like the owner of KFC. Well, hello there, sir. Leap Rayo. Why? Matt Drew. Why? Now it's time for us to look at all the cast members for the Na'vi tribe, which is the blue humanoids in the movie. Zoe Saldana. Black. CCH Pounder. Black. This woman look like Rosa Parks. Laz Alonzo. Black. West Study. hey, somebody that's not black, hey, get the hell out of here. One not black person out of 15. And Peter Mensah. This dude, like a big-ass milk dud. Oh, my God, he looks so brown. As I said, racist movie.
Beside all that, the film was excellent. The visionary scenes was off the chain. The fight scenes was off the chain. Good story, good elements. I give this film 2 cigars up. Good job, James, you racist bastard.
We throw that out there.
Sorry about that. I don't know why the hell you were off it. I don't know why the hell you were muted there for a second.
Okay, well, we're back. And, you know, Siggins is a funny, funny dude. So I figured I'd play that for y'all. It always cracks me up. So
he's funny as hell.
Yep. What do you want to get into next? Got a few things. Did you see the fucking the Hardy Boys tasering Rebby Sky?
No.
You didn't see that.
Fuck TNA.
No, it's actually not a TNA thing. They cut another one of their "We're Far Too High to Be Operating a Camera" videos, where they actually use a taser.
Shooting.
Huh?
I said they're shooting again.
Who's shooting?
No, the Hardys. They're shooting again.
Oh. Well, yeah. They were playing around with the taser on camera. And Jeff Hardy decided, you know, they wanted to shock each other. So it was Matt, his girlfriend, Rebby Sky, and Jeff. And so they got, he shocked Matt, and then they talked Rebby into allowing them to shock her, and she screamed bloody murder and, like, fell on the floor and everything. You know, these are all things that are going to work out just great for Jeff Hardy when he finally does face the judge in court after he, you know, got his course or his case delayed for well over a year. I'm sure it's going to work out fantastic when he's cutting YouTube videos of, you know, tasering girls and things of that nature. It's just
right.
Such a great decision-making thing that just continues to happen in the Hardy camp. Nothing but intelligence in the Hardy camp. So, yeah, that's pretty much that.
Hey, that's some Ring of Honor stuff if you want me to go over.
Yeah, sure.
You need to go over that now, or do you have anything else to say before we go into Ring of Honor?
Jeff Hardy's retarded and Matt's untalented. Go ahead.
All right, so Ring of Honor has a show in 10 days at the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York. Best in the World 2011.
Now, is this the first show since the new ownership?
I believe so.
Okay, should be interesting.
It's a stacked card so far.
All right.
They also have a DVD. They have a DVD exclusive match that will not be shown on pay-per-view because of the talent that's in it. For the Ring of Honor World Championship, Eddie Edwards defends against his former partner, Davey Richards.
Davey Richards.
For the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champion in a 4-way elimination match, the Ring of Honor World Champion, Chip, the world's greatest tag team, Charlie Haas, Shelton Benjamin, defend the belts against Kings of Wrestling, Chris Hero and Claudio Castagnoli, the All-Night Express of Rhett Titus and Kenny King, and Jay and Mark, the Briscoe Brothers.
All right.
Christopher Daniels versus El Generico for the Ring of Honor World Television title.
That should be good.
Steve Corino versus Michael Elgin.
That would bore me if I watched it.
Special challenge match number 2, the Prodigy Mike Bennett versus Jay Lethal. All
right.
In a no-holds-barred street fight, Homicide takes on Rhino.
Oh, fuck. Why do people keep booking Rhino? My God. Go ahead.
In a dream tag team match, a.k.a. a dark match, DVD exclusive match, Generation Me versus Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly.
That should be really good.
And Colt Cabana versus Tommaso Ciampa.
Super 8 winner.
Yep. Fucking, they're bringing a bunch of TNA guys, though. Generation Me. Isn't Rhino working for TNA?
Juan, are you really, out of all of that, you're really just marking out for Carino? One of the most boring people on that entire card? Really, Juan? Okay. All right.
Maybe Carino's his trainer. I think Carino's his trainer.
Maybe.
I think that's what it is.
Because
he doesn't work out for Carino, he fucking get it in practice.
Oh. So, yeah, that sounds like a really big ROH show. I'll definitely I'll look forward to checking that out. Is it an IPPV or any of that stuff?
Yeah, Internet Pay-Per-View, yeah.
Awesome. I was also informed by Nick Papagiorgio that that August show with the Circus Deathmatch is going to be an IPPV. So everybody who is not able to make it to Philadelphia to see that incredible match between those two guys, Scotty Vortex and Drake Younger, in the first ever in CZW Circus Deathmatch, and you tune into your computer and you check that shit out on your computer on the internet.
Honestly, that's been a big thing in this generation, is that internet pay-per-view. I mean, the original pay-per-view, like, saying, I mean, I remember, like, when ECW got pay-per-view, it was a fucking huge deal, you know.
Yeah.
Now anybody can do, it's like a lot of people can do internet pay-per-views.
Well, yeah. The thing is, it's becoming a lot more cost-effective to do it this way. When you did the normal pay-per-views, it would take a whole lot more money put into it, and then if your pay-per-views didn't get enough buys, it buried your company. A lot of people blame ECW's death on pay-per-view because you put a lot into it, and if you don't get those pay-per-views, you know, watchers, you know, signing up enough, then you bury your company. That's just bottom line. You're really left with nothing, you know, if you can't make that money back that you put in. And I don't think that I'm not really sure numbers or any of that type of stuff, because I surely haven't run a show or any of that stuff before. But I'm pretty sure, pretty positive that internet pay-per-view is a whole lot cheaper to get in, you know, get into and get rolling than, you know, your normal pay-per-view is. And it's becoming more popular as we go. And it's a great option, because as many people who have the internet, you know, that can't make it to shows, whether they're out of the area or just can't make it, it's a great option.
Honestly, I'll probably be down. Well, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do for that weekend, because I'm definitely going to Acid Fest, and I might just end up watching that CZW show on the internet pay-per-view.
Well, Acid Fest is actually in July.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I don't know why I said that.
Yeah, Acid Fest is actually in July. July 10th, I believe. Let me see.
But I should be able to go to that August show.
Yeah. July 10th is Acid Fest. That's actually a Sunday. It's a Sunday show, and we will be having, you know, within the next couple weeks, we will be having Robbie Marino in to promote Acid Fest. We had him on once before. He was a great guest. So I'm looking forward to having him on again within the next couple weeks. And, that should be really good. What are you yelling Super Dragon about, Juan?
I don't know why he's screaming Super Dragon.
I don't either.
Maybe he wants to chant Super Dragon for the hell.
Okay, that's cool. It's been a while. That's fine. So, man. Yeah, I'm looking forward to Acid Fest. Should be another great turnout, I hope. You know, help Trent's family out and you know, get things rolling on that front. You can never get enough, you know, help for a family of a lost one like that. I can't even imagine going through what this family's going through. So, Juan's telling me to go on YouTube. Like, he acts like I'm not actually speaking on the radio right now. So, I'll surf the internet after the show, Juan. You go ahead and send me the link. It's cool. So, yeah, man.
Right.
Super Dragon. Definitely. The Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan are still going at it.
Fuck the Ultimate Warrior.
Right. And fuck the Hulk Hogan as well.
The Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, they're continuing to go back and forth and bicker like two old men fighting over the checkers table, or you know, fighting over what number they just called it bingo. They keep going and going all day long. All they do is whine and whine, and who took my paper, and you know, whatever. They're whining about something that happened 20 years ago. The Ultimate Warrior, oh my God, he puts out these rants that sound like one of his old promos, only shittier. Like he's trying to be political as well as off his fucking rocker, so it comes off really, really funny. He goes at Hogan, saying Hogan's a cokehead, Hogan's always done coke. Hogan says, no, brother, I didn't do no coke, brother, da, da, da. I'm taking a high road, I'm not going to start slinging dirt, da, da, da. Well, that lasted all of 30 seconds. Now, Hogan is going around saying that the Ultimate Warrior back in the day was a male prostitute. And,
boy.
It's always possible. I don't know what to tell you. That's something else. So
that is called shooting.
Yeah, Nina says fighting over shuffle ball, but it's shuffle board, you know. But, you know, sometimes when you get old, you forget what to call the games. You got Stratego, Battleship, Shuffle Ball. So you never know. They could be fighting over Shuffle Ball. They could be fighting over orange juice or fucking laxatives. I don't know. But TNA just put over Anderson, Kenny Anderson, as the new world champion. He put him over Sting at the recent pay-per-view, the recent I don't know why anyone pays for pay-per-view. And,
They should just do better than that pay-per-view.
Yeah, maybe they should. Actually, and I look up as I have TNA on mute, and there he is. I don't know what he's saying, but it's Hogan sitting down yelling at Sting. So again, it's, I don't know what you're in the room for. I was just thinking about doing something I can't remember. You're interrupting my thoughts when I'm trying to think. I was going to play Battleship with my friends, and then here you are, yapping and yapping. So, seems like what they're saying. I'm just seeing their lips roll, and now Hogan's putting his hands together.
You know, cuz.
Yeah. But, yeah, you never know what these guys are up to. It definitely looks very senior citizen-like. And
by the way, in other news, Reggie has not done another YouTube rant.
He has not done another YouTube rant?
Yeah, I haven't seen him do a YouTube rant in a while.
Oh, Reggie. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I believe he has two shitty radio shows coming out within the next 8 months. So he's been promoting them pretty frequently. Yeah. So, we'll see how that turns out. Is our friend Fredo on the line?
He's not. Right, we could probably put him on. Let's put him on. All right. Let's see if he's ready. Oh, no, he's not on the line. He hung up.
Okay, that's fine. Watching these two old men yell at each other on mute. I mean, you could only imagine what they're saying. And then the boy kicked the ball in my yard, and I told him I was going to keep it the next time it came over my fence, and I mean it. I got a closet full of those frisbees and soccer balls. They're mine now. They come in my yard. They're mine. I think that's what Sting's telling Hogan right now.
Jesus cool. Christ. He's fucking retarded.
Yeah. He's grabbing them and stuff. I don't know what the fuck. You took my Metamucil. But, yeah, it's all pretty entertaining. What else do I got?
Well, they're not trying to be entertaining. They're just entertaining.
Right. I know what I got. We'll go to another clip. I just found the other day, it's a child's bedtime story written by, I believe his name is Adam Manbeck. And, oh, my Lord, who would you like to have do the audiobook? Well, that would be the one and only Samuel L. Jackson. And without further ado, I'm going to play you the 6-minute complete audiobook of this of this children's bedtime story as read by Samuel L. Jackson. Please, please enjoy.
Do the audio read of this book because my agent has twins, and he gave me the book. I read it, and I fell out laughing. And I remember all those times when I did read to my daughter when she was that age. And everybody tells you reading stories will put kids to sleep, but it never works. It didn't in my house. Actually, if I picked her up and made up a story, it worked a lot better. But I did say go the fuck to sleep to her a lot. And I think at some point she would look at me when I would come in her room and she would look at me and say, go the fuck to sleep, Daddy. And I would say, yeah, go the fuck to sleep.
Audible Inc. presents Go the Fuck to Sleep. Written by Adam Mansbach. Narrated by Samuel L. Jackson.
The cats nestle close to their kittens. The lambs have laid down with the sheep. You're cozy and warm in your bed, my dear. Please go the fuck to sleep. The windows are dark in the town, child. The whales huddle down in the deep. I'll read you one very last book if you swear you'll go the fuck to sleep. The eagles who soar through the sky are at rest, and the creatures who crawl, run, and creep. I know you're not thirsty. That's bullshit. Stop lying. Lie the fuck down, my darling, and sleep. The wind whispers soft through the grass, hun. The field mice, they make not a peep. It's been 38 minutes already. Jesus Christ, what the fuck? Go to sleep. All the kids from daycare are in dreamland. The froggy has made his last leap. Hell no, you can't go to the bathroom. You know where you can go? The fuck to sleep. The owls fly forth from the treetops. Through the air they soar and they sweep. A hot crimson rage fills my heart, love. For real, shut the fuck up and sleep. The cubs and the lions are snoring, wrapped in a big, snuggly heap. How come you can do all this other great shit, but you can't lie the fuck down and sleep? The seeds slumber beneath the earth now, and the crops that the farmers will reap. No more questions. This interview's over. I've got two words for you, kid. Fucking sleep. The tiger reclines in the simmering jungle. The sparrow has silenced her cheep. Fuck your stuff bad. I'm not getting you shit. Close your eyes. Cut the crap. Sleep. The flowers doze low in the meadows, and high on the mountains so steep. My life is a failure. I'm a shitty-ass parent. Stop fucking with me, please, and sleep. The giant pangolins of Madagascar are snoozing. As I lie here and openly weep, sure, fine, whatever, I'll bring you some milk. Who the fuck cares? You're not gonna sleep. This room is all I can remember. The furniture, crappy and cheap. You win. You escape. You run down the hall. As I nod the fuck off and sleep. Bleary and dazed, I awaken to find your eyes shut. So I keep my fingers crossed tight as I tiptoe away and pray that you're fucking asleep. We're finally watching our movie. Popcorn's in the microwave. Beep. Oh, shit. God damn it. You gotta be kidding. Come on. Go the fuck back to sleep.
This has been an Audible Inc. production of Go the Fuck to Sleep. Written by Adam Mansbach. Narrated by Samuel L. Jackson. Executive Producer, Kristen Lang. Producers, Mike Charzik and Stefan Rudnicki. Directed and engineered by Gabrielle DeCure. Music by John Herbst. Copyright, 2011 by Adam Mansbach. Production copyright, 2011 by Audible Inc.
We're back, Eric.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Yeah, we're back.
All right. So, yeah, I'm glad you didn't take that as instructions, Eric, because, you know.
What was that? I'm sleeping.
Yeah. Well, that's the great Samuel L. Jackson narrating that wonderful children's bedtime story. And go the fuck to sleep. So, what I would like to promote real quick, because, like I said, we do have a lot of extra time now. I want to make it more accessible. I want to make it where we do get a lot more calls. If you got something to talk about, you got questions, you got anything to just, you know, put out there, feel free to call in anytime during our show hours. Our number is 347-215-8300. Anybody want to call in? Feel free to do so. Have something to talk about. We'll chat up whatever you got. So, you know, like I said, I just want to do more interaction with the fans. Well, not fans, listeners, and you know, everybody's.
And we do have a caller. I believe this is Alfredo.
Hey, Alfredo.
What's up, guys?
Hey, what's up, man?
First thing I want to say when I'm on here, you guys are fucking awesome. You're using Geek Radio. I listen to it every week. I might not listen to it live, but when I have a chance, I do listen to it. I listened to the B-Boy interview from last week, and it was fucking awesome. It was really good. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you very much. I mean, honestly, it's mostly Benny that made that awesome. He's just an incredible guest, and yeah, I enjoyed it quite a bit.
And I know Alfredo loves our opinions of the CZW show as well.
See, well, you guys, I understand everybody's open to their opinions, but we can agree to disagree.
Well, if you listen to my review tonight, I don't think I said anything very bad other than that CJ looks like a sausage.
I thought that this past weekend show was very, very good. Once again, Drake and Scotty tore the fucking house down. I thought Eric Fox was very good. Adam Cole and Gresham was good. I really enjoyed Blackout and Runaways.
Yeah.
I just thought the show overall was very, very good.
Yeah, I thought the match of the night, other than the Drake and Scotty match, I thought was definitely the Kyoko and Nue and Sumi Sugai match.
Oh, they tore the fucking... They were tearing it up. I was sitting in the back, and I'm watching on the screen. I'm like, Jesus Christ. It's not... Like, the only Indies there is girls that can wrestle, but, like, it's not every night you get to see, like, a really fucking good women's match. Not on any wrestling women out there. I'm just saying, people put that women's wrestling into that, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, that minority that it's all, like, it's an ass, and there's that fucking that match.
They're
legends.
Awesome. Yeah, they're legends.
Yeah.
Well, you know, for those who don't know, Fredo is actually training in the CZW Wrestling Academy, and he currently does security, and you probably see him out there sweeping the glass up and everything else. And, how's things going over there for you training?
It's going well. So it's actually, believe it or not, this past Saturday was my 2 years being part of CZW, being in the academy, and
wow.
I've been working shows outside of Pennsylvania, inside of Pennsylvania. I just recently worked in Virginia. I have a show this weekend. Have you guys ever heard of Beyond Wrestling?
What's that?
Have you guys ever heard of Beyond Wrestling?
No, not really.
Well, okay, I'll explain it to you. Beyond Wrestling is, their logo is Wrestling, Wrestlers, Wrestling for Wrestlers. Basically, they do taping, and there's no fans at the tapings. It's just, you know, wrestlers are the fans, and the wrestlers are watching the matches. And, a lot of people are really, really quick to judge Beyond Wrestling. I'm not going to lie, like, before I started working for them, I was like, what the heck? Like, what is this shit? And I got there, and it completely blew my fucking mind. Like, there's guys on the roster that, like, when you go to these tapings, guys will do shit on these shows that they wouldn't do in front of a live crowd. And just because they give off that aura, we want to prove, and, like, the guy, the passion, like, there's, like, so many guys in Beyond Wrestling that, like, need to be exposed. Like, at the last Beyond Wrestling taping, there was this match, and it was Jonathan Gresham versus Zane Silver. And I don't know if you guys ever heard of Zane Silver, but this guy needs to break the fuck out. That match is seriously one of the greatest matches I've ever seen. That match was freaking brutal. And they have guys like Chris Dickinson on there. They have guys like the Super Smash Brothers, the Runaways, Corey Sphere. I already said Chris Dickinson. Just guys that need like exposure. And they're actually, I told you that they do tapings in with no crowd, but they're actually having their first show July 23rd at the Heirloom Arts Arena in Danbury, Connecticut, and they're actually doing a doubleheader with Inter Species Wrestling. And, it's the first show that it's stacked. I've seen the card. It's going to be stacked. I can't give anything away. I just know there's two matches that have been announced. The one is this Arrow Forum, which is with Kendrick and Lewis London versus
right.
versus the Super Smash Brothers, which was, do you guys know who Aeroformer is?
Yeah, I've heard of Aeroform before. They
I've heard of both of those.
Car stuff.
Yeah, they're freaking awesome. Actually, the last three outings, I wrestled Flip Kendrick in a four-way, and he's phenomenal. But yeah, they're having their first show, and I just want to kind of plug it. It's called About Time. You can go to lookmanofans.com, and you can get all the things about Beyond Wrestling and all the updates. You can also go to facebook.com/Beyond Wrestling, and they come up with updates to get free matches every week. You can look at, you can watch, and it's Beyond Wrestling is really something to look out for. It's
Fredo, are you on speakerphone or?
No, I'm not.
Okay, because it's just a little hard to understand sometimes. You're kind of like in and out.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm not on speaker.
Nah, it's okay. It's okay.
So what you guys been up to? I have a question. Who do you guys really watching right now? Who do you guys like?
Watching as far as what? Company-wise?
Individuals, more or less.
My favorite guy for a while, but CZW has been my main focus for many, many years, at least 10 years now. So, but right now my current favorite is definitely Sami Callihan, hands down.
Sammy's awesome. I don't know if you got Sammy actually trained me for like the first 8 months of my my wrestling training. He's a great person to learn from. And he is a tremendous talent.
Right.
How about you, Eric? Who do you like?
Sammy. I've been on the AR Fox. You know, the whole AR Fox thing lately. You know, I've been loving AR Fox, and you know, I don't understand that some of these people on message boards and, you know, people that I know, they piss me the fuck off. They're like, every match with AR Fox is the same shit. And I'm like, no, fuck you, man. Like, he does shit like, and I fucking go up to him, I go up to these people that are saying this shit, and I'm like, yo, can you do the half of the shit that he's doing? Can you do fucking 450s off the top rope to the fucking outside? Like, absolutely not. Like I hate these fucking fans that just fucking think, you know, I'm a fucking wrestling fan, but you know what? I fucking, you know, been a wrestling fan all my life. You know what I mean? And I know what the fuck is going, what the guys fucking go through to fucking get to the business. You know what I mean? Get in the business, do all the fucking shit. You know what I mean? It's not like I fucking, I know it's easy. No, it's fucking hard as hell. I know what the motherfuckers go through. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
when people are sitting there fucking going blah, 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 you know, I can fucking say it because I understand what's going on. When I see somebody fucking not doing what they're doing and being lazy, I think, you know, and that's why I think me and Jay sometimes people go, why is Jay and Eric fucking sucking shit? Well, you know what? We know what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
Fox is the fucking man. He has it, you know?
The shit he does is like, the shit he does,
he reminds me, not too much his attitude or his look, but he reminds me of this generation's Teddy Hart.
Yes.
Possibly.
Without the attitude.
Well, Fredo, I mean, you worked, like he said, you've been training for 2 years in the CZW Wrestling Academy. Who are some of the people that you've trained with?
What do you mean, that taught me?
Yeah, some of the people who, you know, you've got the opportunity to learn from.
Well, when I first started out, it was Sami Callihan was like the first 8 months, and Sami Callihan and T-Boy were actually my trainers for like the first 8 months, which was awesome. And at the time, me and Kimberly were actually started together. So we were like bumping together and everything, and it was awesome. It's like, you know, they're two of the best in the indies at what they do, and it was like, I had to control myself, because like before I started, I was a huge mark for Sammy, and like when I found out he was a trainer, I was like, kind of jizz in my pants. But like I'm later going down, I've done stuff with Al Snow, which like his mind for wrestling is like, if you can pick his mind, you'll learn so much. I've done stuff with Les Thatcher, done stuff with Chris Hero, John Moxley, Homicide, American kickboxer, which who trained the That Town Dragons. For the past year or so, I had to give a lot of credit where credit's due, and the guys that have been teaching me and really have made me coming into my own is Drew Gulak, and the Black G's. They've helped me so much, and if it wasn't for them, like, I would not be where I am at today. But character shit and everything else.
Yeah.
Also ring awareness and all that stuff. If it wasn't for them, like, I don't know where I'd be. But sooner or later, Fredo Major is going to be a big deal in the indies. And I know people. I know. Oh, he's full of himself. But I know for a fact that I'm going to be a big deal.
Good, man. That's good to hear. You listed quite an array of super talented people. So, I mean, if you haven't had the opportunity to learn from some of the best that's going right now, then I don't know who has, because, those are some very, very big names. So, wish you the best, man.
Thanks, man. I want to tell you guys again that I love your guys' show. And just keep doing what you guys do, because
Before you get off the air, you said one name, and I have to talk about it. Fuck it. Jay will get a kick out of it. But you said the name Black Sabian. And
okay.
you've been mentioned on the show before when Sabian came on the show. So I got to ask you, the meaty story.
Oh, God.
You ever get a meeting from that, right?
here's the deal, guys. I want nothing to do with that girl. the shit I've heard about her, she is kind of disgusting. He gets a kick out of busting my balls, and, Nagazawa, that's how you pronounce it. They got the Necrobusters. My boy, Matt Tremont, is going to tear the fucking house down.
Oh, yeah.
And just, you guys go to Facebook.com and Money Pond's fan page, Dragon Majors. And also, you can subscribe to my YouTube page. It's also Freedom Majors. And, you know, there's usually a new matchup on Freedom Majors on YouTube, like, every week or 2 weeks. So, you guys keep support Freedom Majors, and you guys will see a lot of shit out of me. More to come.
Good to hear, man. Good to hear. Thanks for coming on, man. Call in anytime.
Yeah, guys. Yeah, thank you. I'll talk to you guys later. Just keep doing what you guys do, man. You guys are fucking
all right, man. Thank you very much. Peace, man.
All right, that was all Fredo. Right.
Yep, that was Fredo on a horrible, horrible connection. Liked the dude quite a bit. Wish I could have heard him a little more clear. Sounded like he was driving through a tunnel in Atlantis. But, you know, I mean, I heard quite a bit of it. All right. So.
Yo, J-Cat. Yo, Jay.
What's up?
Guess who we have on hold?
Who do we have on hold?
The motherfucking man, Juan.
What's going
man.
On, Juan?
What's up, man?
Holy what's shit. Going on?
Yeah, the longer I've been listening to the show, I have not called in once whatsoever.
Right? It's fucking amazing. And then, you know, we get new people pop up, call in. Finally, we get Juan on the line. So we ain't got no girls on the line for you to harass, Juan. So
No. Nicole's on the line. We got to put Nicole on the line.
No, really? Like, Nicole, we blocked that off already. She was like, I'm not. You're not harassing her. Oh, we got the, what's her name? One chick in here?
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know.
Well, we got Serena, and we got, of course, my Nina, and,
Oh, yeah, Cougar and Puma.
What's up?
Oh, she's asking me if I'm going to the 4th of July party you guys are throwing. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah. You're more than welcome. But, what's going on?
Oh, no, man. Like, talking about wrestling, so let's talk about wrestling. Shit.
Sure. What do you want to talk about?
You said that that speaker was training me. Nah, he's not training me. Yeah, I talk to him. Don't be wrong. I see him at every show I go to.
Okay. You a big
and,
Steve Corino fan?
I am. Yeah, I am, obviously. No, he's not boring whatsoever, but I just like his style, though. Feel me?
Ah, fuck. That hurts.
Shut up, Eric. Did you fall asleep yet?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I'm not just him. I mean, I like Sakamoto and, you know, Akuma, Cole.
Definitely.
Feel me?
Are you still training over there, too?
Yes, I am.
Cool. You know, give everybody, you know, heads up on what you're doing over there.
Well, right now, I mean, I'm working with this little promotion around here in Jackson called World One. You know, I was going back and back to wrestling. I was going to go back until someone came up to me and said, hey, you want to train? He said, so take it, whatever. That's what I did. I've been selling tickets for a while, and I've been training.
That's and over there in Jackson?
Yeah, and I met a lot of fucking people. Like, I met Adam Cole. I met Grant Akuma. Carino, Saban. I met, like, all these people. They're cool people. Like, I sat there and talked to them, asking them all these questions because, you know, I'm still learning the business. You feel me?
Yeah.
And I was out talking to Kuma and Adam in the back. I was asking about best is best. Then the match they brought up was Sakamoto and Callahan, the one that stole the show completely.
Yeah.
It was telling me they're like pressuring back there, like, holy shit, they stole the show. Like, we don't know what to do.
Who were some of the people? Did you get to work any, like, the bigger names on the card yet, or?
No, not yet. I mean, I'm still learning. I haven't played in the ring yet. You know, I'm still learning the game, how these people, like, work. I watch. I don't see shit. I keep my ears open and watch the screen.
That's the way to do it. How long have you been training? Right now, let me see. July will be a year. Wow. And they haven't had you do like any sort of in-ring stuff there, right?
Yeah, they have. I mean, I've been doing the flip
during
bump,
your show. I mean,
back flips. Oh no, not yet. No.
No, well, that's I mean, the way it should be. I mean, it takes a lot of training. See, the problem I had is when I was young, I trained over here for this little bullshit fucking school, and you pretty much started, and within 2 months, a month and a half, 2 months, you were training the next person that just started.
Oh, I'm not training nobody.
But that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Like, they would show you like different reversals and hammer locks and this and that, and then like 2 weeks later you were showing someone else hammer locks, like, and you were paying these people and that type of shit was going on.
No, I have zero, like, I'm still training. I'm not going to train nobody else. You feel me?
Of course.
Like, fuck that, dude.
Yeah.
It was crazy. You did, matter of fact, you did tell me about that when we were on Facebook. I talked to you about that.
Yeah, and the thing was cool because, like, you know, I got the opportunity to do some things. I actually got, like, in the ring. I didn't belong in the fucking ring, but I got into the ring, and I got body slammed by Hillbilly Cousin Luke, on a show. Of course, the show only had, you know, 20 fans. And, you know, it was in the back of, like, a firehouse in fucking Weartown. And, you know, it was what it was. There was 20 people in the, I don't even know if it was 20 paid, but it was like 20 people back there, and it was cool. They had another show, George Animal Steel was on the show, and I got to do, I think I was like security or something like that, and he told me after the show I looked like one of the Hardy Boys, and, you know, it was cool at the time. Now that's like a fucking disrespectful term, but, yeah, that was cool.
Fat Hardys are like done. That's it.
Oh yeah, they're fucked. The other cool thing was I got to actually ring announce and announce Sergeant Slaughter and shit, and that was cool. I announced him as the only man in attendance with a G.I. Joe figure.
how is he anyway? Like, how is he? Like, he's a cool dude.
Who's that?
Sergeant Slaughter. Like. I mean, I never met him.
Pretty cool. He pretty much stayed to himself, like, just did his business, you know. Again, like you said, you know, you kind of just keep your mouth shut, you know. So when you're training
exactly,
and shit,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
that,
I,
there's something
I not, I
that was crazy.
Whatever. I say hi, you know.
Mhm. It was that, and then the biggest honor is I got to actually train on two occasions. I only trained maybe 6 months tops, but And they really started to be, you know, really unprofessional and, like, hurt my neck and stuff like that because you had students training students and then, like, these guys that were wrestling five years and still didn't make it anywhere were all disgruntled and fucking just stiffened students for no reason. And it wasn't like I couldn't take it, but I wasn't going to go anywhere there. But I had the opportunity two times to train with Manny Fernandez. And it was funny because half the students, they had heard Manny's reputation, and half the students just left. Like, as soon as they saw Manny was there, they just left. What's that?
What was it, like a bully or just sucked?
Yeah, they had heard of him, like, getting fed up with students and just beating the shit out of them. And I was like, fuck it, dude. I'm going to learn. I don't care what it needs to be. I know this guy has done above and beyond. So whatever he tells me is right. I'm listening, you know.
Yeah.
And that was
like, I'm honestly, I don't mean to cut you off. I apologize for that.
No, it's okay.
Honestly, like, I have the most respect for these guys. Seriously, when I got in there, started doing flip bumps and taking hip off of this shit. Fuck! I woke up the next day, I had like 6 bruised ribs. You know, I feel like one thing. I got number of respect for these guys whatsoever.
Yeah, it's just, you know, like I said, I had those two opportunities to train with somebody who actually known what the fuck he was doing, and that was Manny Fernandez is a legend. That's the guy who trained Homicide. I mean, it was just such an honor, and he really taught me a lot. And yeah, in the long run, I didn't end up a wrestler, but if that guy was my trainer and my only trainer, I guarantee you I'd be in the ring right now. but it just wasn't in the cards. He pretty much only stopped by for two different sessions, and then it was back to just students training students, bunch of unprofessionalism, taking my money, and hurting me. You know what I mean, and it wasn't just, hey, being a little stiff or being a little, it just untrained, fucking horribly, just unprofessional people. I had to get out of there, so.
Nah, I'm just, honestly, I'm blessed, man. Like, seriously. Either I would go back into backyard wrestling or start do sell tickets and train. Fuck that. I jumped at the opportunity. Hell yeah. If I'll sell tickets and train, fuck that. If not,
yeah.
You know, I'll either get hurt for free or, you know, get hurt, get paid.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, a lot of people don't understand that indie wrestling is real different than a higher up wrestling, like, you feel me?
Yeah.
You need to watch a wrestler or something. Like, that's how it really is. That's how real, like, how life is for indie wrestlers, pretty much. You feel me?
Yeah, definitely. That was the thing. Like, back then, like, you know, I had a job. I worked at a video store. I only had a few days off. It was either I wasn't going to have the money to go to a wrestling school if I stopped working, or I was going to go to that wrestling school because it was the only thing close enough that I could actually work into my schedule. So
what school was that?
What the fuck was it? I don't know. Well, Tom Rumsby was the guy who ran the school. And
that's
he's a complete
factory, fucking... right? Not up here, like... Monster Factory, that's what it was around here?
Huh?
This is a school around here. What, was the Monster Factory? Where the hell is that school at?
I don't know. Where I was training, it was more or less like a Weartown area. And it was just, it was like a gym area, gym thing over there. And they pretty much rented a room that had a ring in it. And they didn't have you work out whatsoever. They got you in there and they just started having you take bumps and fucking learn fucking hammer locks and shit. And then, like, later on, as I, you know, after I quit that shit and fucking moved on, and I told the dude straight up, I said, you're fucking unprofessional. He's like, I'm unprofessional. You're not cut out for this and this and that. So, in the end, you know, I just kept seeing different things. And like I said, you know, they had a lot of different schools in the Philly area or, you know, far South Jersey, but it wasn't that much out there. If, you know, you could travel and you can get into really good schools, but, you know, the CCWs, the Chikaras, you know, all different things. I don't know if Chikara was around quite yet, but CCW was, Ring of Honor was. It just,
oh, man, I remember the old school Ring of Honor when they first came out. I fell in love with that when it first came out. That's why I saw, like, Christopher Daniels, the different, like, a Fallen Angel at the time.
Yeah.
When I first saw that, man, I was like, damn, that's fucking wrestling right there. It was either that or CCW, because I was watching, it came on Trenton when it was on Channel 48 at the time, before it turned Christian and shit. That's what ECW was on at the time. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's
right. That was the good old days. WGTW, Channel 48.
WGTW.
Yeah, FakeUTV was... Who was the host?
FakeUTV,
Eric Gargiulo. That's what
Gargiulo.
And House.
Gargiulo
and House.
House was... Yo, he was a dick, dude. Real talk, yeah, like... Cool dude, like I think I heard him on the radio show one time on here.
Yeah, he came on briefly. He was just trying to promote some shit and move on, and like I tried to get into some questions with him, but he was like, maybe another week, and it was like, dude, you came on the wrestling show. I'm trying to pick your brain. You're like, I'm not even here for that. Just check this out, and da 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 da. And I'm like, oh, all right, dude. I guess I'll try to get to a different day and shit. It never worked out, you know, and maybe in the future I'll be able to get him. But, yeah, he had an agenda. He was just going that direction. So what can I do? But,
Hey, what happened to Gargiulo anyway? Like, I have not heard.
I think he just got out of that shit.
Yeah, he's completely out of the wrestling business.
Like, the last time I seen it, he was, like, promoting Japanese hardcore wrestling DVDs. That was it.
Well,
yeah,
he did the commentary on that.
Yeah, that was the only thing I seen him on. That was it.
Gargiulo?
Yeah, and that was like 4 years ago.
Oh, okay. Shout out to Billy Graham. He's in Billy Graham's in the chat room.
Billy!
All
oh, what's up, Billy?
And,
we love you. That's Grandpa.
What's up?
We love you, Grandpa.
Billy Graham's the shit, man. I want to fucking get in a fight with someone I have no hope of beating, is what Billy is saying in the chat room right now.
Oh,
well, Billy.
Oh, you talking about, oh, hold on, you talking about Ian or Askew? Askew, he's talking about Ian.
I don't think Billy's talking about Ian whatsoever.
You see, he wants to rob a bank.
Now he's saying,
right.
Yeah, that's not a good look, dog. It's not a good look.
Okay.
Billy is bugging. What can we do? What do you think about this whole, I know you're the, well, that would be Juan who called you Grandpa Billy. So keep that in mind. That would be Juan. But being you're the ladies' man of our friend base, Juan, what do you think about backdoor into China?
I don't know what to say. Like, yeah, I watched it like four times, dude.
Well, only Juan would have watched that four times, so that's why I had to ask. It would only be Juan.
Yeah, man, like, honestly, yo, she got her in, though. Like, real talk, man, yo, she went in. Like, I was shocked to shit,
no,
dude. I don't know.
They went in.
Like, I didn't know what to say about it. I sat there, then went to training, then we talked about it, then I was, didn't know what to say about that. So, yeah, I watched it about four times.
Wow. Only one. You know, it's like when they're narrowing things down, and then like, and then there was one, and they're like, no, and then there was Juan, who watched Backdoor into China four times. He's a warrior. He's an Iron Man, some would say.
I don't know what the, I don't know, yo, I had to, yo, the fucking G's watching shit, what the hell, I heard who you watched it, so I decided to download it and watch it, four times,
oh shit, there's other shit to download, I just want to let you know that.
But
well, she's looking to go full time, so I don't know, man.
Oh nah, that's a mistake right there. It's that one video. It's okay. I'm not gonna watch you no more.
Well, four times. I bet you pick the next one up at least one.
I'm not gonna. I didn't even pay for it. I don't pay for stuff. Crazy. Come on now.
No, you're not paying for it. I'm not saying. So you gonna show up to a Tournament of Death or what?
I'm gonna try, honestly. I work Saturdays and, you know, and I got a wedding to pay for.
Oh, you're getting married soon, huh?
Yeah, man. Matter of fact, like, 3.5 months left.
Wow.
Said he can't do no ladies, man, anymore.
Yeah, you can't be tempting people in chat rooms.
Yeah, you're going to have to calm down with that shit.
Shut up. We got 15
hours. It'll turn into John Wayne Bobbitt.
Oh, man, that's horrible, dude. Don't say that. That's fucked up.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, but keep a couple windows up so you can quick click on to some other shit. One window, I'm pipping in the chat room. The other window, I'm shopping on eBay.
And the other window, I'm on ZZW.com.
Yeah.
I gotta follow somebody because I thought they had like a TV show that went under. What the hell? Like, what happened to that?
What's that, CZW?
Yeah, but it went back on TV, so I heard, and I was trying to find the channel, but.
Yeah,
they fucked up. They fucked up with that shit. They fucking decided to start showing blood again. And
fucking DJ Hod, he fucking shit up over there.
Yeah, there is DJ. He looks like a sausage.
Like, look at this is the shit he did. Fuck up a TV deal, got rid of Cult Fiction. That's basically it. He just fucked shit up.
He's fucked up everything. He just fucked up a wet dream if he had. He would fuck up a wet dream if he had one.
What are you doing over there, dude? Like, I was happy when I heard that. Like, oh, we're getting back on TV. Cool. Hold on.
That's the thing.
Billy Graham is...
Yeah, Billy's bugging the fuck out.
No, he's saying something. Oh, I mean, they were not paying for the time. Oh, all right.
Yeah, I love Billy, man. He's drunk right now, so it's all good. I mean, I always listen to what he's got to say.
If he hated fucking CF, that's what that means?
I don't know.
All
right. But either way, oh, yeah, there was Billy Graham chance during DJ's match. But
was there really?
Yeah, there was. Someone actually got a banner, too. I don't know if you've seen the banner. Shit, man. I have pictures for 2 months that I haven't put up this month and last month. But there's a banner that someone got over there that said book Cult Fiction to the Death. And they hung it on the guardrail, had that shit up the whole show. So, yeah,
oh, wow.
A couple Cult Fiction chants and everything else.
Cool.
Yeah, it was pretty good, definitely. And
they need to bring back Cult Fiction. Cult Fiction needs to be back.
Of course they do. I mean, it's good money, but at this point, DJ would rather cut off his nose to spite his face. You know, that's the bottom line.
That motherfucker looks like a 10-year-older now. That motherfucker looks like a 10-year-older.
Yeah, he needs to grow a beard or something.
He looks like a 10-year-older.
DJ Ha needs to grow like a nice grizzly beard.
Look at his fucking name. Just listen to that fucking name. Who the fuck would be intimidated by the name DJ Hyde? Think about it. Just think about it.
You know, that man's
DJ Hyde. What the fuck is a DJ Hyde?
I don't know.
No, but listen. What the fuck is a
DJ
Hyde?
Be high with
that.
What's your name anyway?
It was PDX. DJ Tanner and shit.
What?
What is a DJ Hyde? I want to know an answer. I want an answer on that. What is a DJ Hyde?
What is a DJ Hyde?
What the fuck is a DJ Hyde? His name is DJ Hyde.
The motherfucker running DZW right now.
Yeah,
I know that, but that's fucking... It could be fucking... You know... John
what
Dead
is it as far as a name? Or?
No, but what the fuck does he do? What the fuck is his... Like, he owns CZW. Yes, I know that.
Yes.
But what the fuck is his gimmick?
Interjecting himself into matches he doesn't belong
that's
in
not
and
a
taking
gimmick.
The spotlight?
I
know what that is. You want to know? You really want to know?
Good.
Oh, him and Excellence always in the fucking main event.
Yeah, I mean... He came in.
It's eating 50 chicken McNuggets before his match.
30 chicken McNuggets. That's 50. Always possible. 50,
yo, you know
50,
who's
yeah.
A scary dude, honestly? I mean, I don't want to disrespect the guy, maybe he's going to come find me or some bullshit. Brain damage, yo. Brain damage?
Yeah, brain damage is badass, man.
Yo, he's a scary
for
fucking
sure.
Dude.
That's the fucking
like,
ultraviolet Terminator.
That's where I see pictures, like, yo. He scares the shit out of me, dog. Like, I'm a big dude, too, but, yo.
He's an awesome dude. I hope to see him back, you know, definitely, and managed by Billy Graham. You know, that's the main part right there. That's Cult Fiction, you know, and
man,
it's not going to be
wrong.
The same
yeah,
to see any other way.
Yeah, Cult Fiction is best, for real, but...
To the
yeah.
Fucking
seriously,
death.
Like, Billy Graham, where'd he find him at, dude? Like... Honestly, that man, like, if I want him on my side, honestly, like, we get into a fight, I'm bringing him with me, like, yo, come on.
Yeah.
Hop in the car
yeah.
And go.
Yeah, Billy's the man. He's, I know Billy didn't hear my shout out earlier, but if you listen to the beginning of the show, Billy, I think you'll like it. I really do. So, please
do Billy
that.
Billy Graham's a cool dude, man, really. Like I love the interview that day that you had with him.
Oh yeah, he's he's a one of a kind, and you know he's a constant guest on this show. He's very very welcome at all times, and Billy lately has fell on some very hard times. Really, not a whole lot is working out for Billy, and we all support him 100% over here. But it's fucked up, man. Sometimes you get dealt a fucked up hand, and he's definitely dealing with some fucked up cards right now. So it's just there's nothing else you could do but just hope for the better. I mean, it can only get better from here.
Oh yeah, I mean, wrong. Like seriously, like good. So a lot of bad shit happens to good people. Believe me, I know because I've been there numerous fucking times, dude. I just, you know, pick up the pieces, keep walking. You might sometimes walk with a limp, have a cut in your shoulder, but you got the only thing you gotta do is bandage up and keep going.
Definitely.
Honestly, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, you know, any other shit you want to get out there? I don't want to go on and on about the same, and you know.
Oh no, no. Well, I mean, oh, okay. Here's my question: what came first, the chicken or the egg?
The check. Because I've been supposed to have gone there a long time ago. I fucking live right here, and I still haven't gone there, even though I heard how good the fucking food is. That would be the check. That's the answer to that question. Yeah. I don't know if you've been there.
I'll let you go because I don't want to hold up the line. There's other people want to call too.
You been to the check?
No, I have not, but I thought about going.
Yeah, in LBI, man, they're supposed to have some big-ass fucking chicken wings, man. Like, no joke, fucking they have, like, 10 levels of hot. Like, they got some shit that they'll, like, pay you to eat and shit. It's crazy.
Really?
So that would, yeah, man, they got some crazy shit out there. So I got to get out
there.
They
have the 911 style shit? Like, the super hot, like, burn your mouth?
Yeah, they got some shit, like, where they'll put your picture on the wall if you eat that shit. It's
they
crazy.
Relax,
it's in LBI, but I haven't been there yet. So, all right, man. Yo, thanks for calling in, Juan. We hope to hear from you more.
I know, right? I mean, I've been listening to your show for, a year now?
I know. You've been a motherfucking man, dude. I mean, you're by far one of our fucking most loyal listeners, so don't fucking ever be shy to call in.
I believe you need the voice to match that name shit, so here we go. So, all right, you guys, have a good night. I'm going to listen.
All right, man.
Have a good night.
Well, talk to you next week, whenever, week after. Peace, man. Eric?
Yo!
What's poppin'?
No, Billy just sent a message. She wanted to know if he should call in.
Well, that's on him. That's on him. You already know. So anyway, what else happened? Oh, I wanted to speak on this.
You can't call
quick.
Him. He's
huh?
saying call me. How the hell am I going to call you?
Yeah, come on. Billy, you're the most fucking frequent caller ever. And if, you know.
Okay, now, okay, all right. He's calling now.
Okay. So, something else I wanted to touch on, but, that's fine. The next thing will be better, I'm sure. So,
this should be interesting.
10 count, yeah, very interesting. Just hope Billy keeps his, whatever. definitely. You know what? Fuck it. Let me get into this topic,
he's up.
Oh, okay.
I hear you.
What's
going on,
my man, Billy Graham?
I don't know. You guys need me as a guest right now. What the fuck is going on?
Not much, man. We're just trying to take more calls, get everybody involved.
We should have someone call that will. We should have someone call that will argue with me. Come on, motherfucker. Why don't
you
want a motherfucker? Yeah, like some motherfucker that's got some shit to say. Why don't they fucking call in right now?
We don't have that many callers, dude.
We fags, got, man. And I don't mean like homosexuals. I mean fags in the other way. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like not cool. Like just fucking, yeah, we got to come up with a new word, man.
Well, as far as I can see, those type of people don't listen to my show. I have nothing but people.
Unless they have
from
guest names, number 369, fuck you.
They sign on, they sign off. They got a lot of company plans to just listen in to see what we say about them, but whatever. Yeah, but we got a lot of people that fucking love you, Billy, and that's the most of our you know, Juan was just on a minute ago. He's all about fucking Billy Graham. And,
yeah,
you know,
he's cool. He just shouldn't call me Grandpa, though.
Nah, but he don't
know.
Oh, you mentioned the whole fag thing. Something I wanted to get into right quick, and I want to get, you know, your opinion on this, too, because it's kind of crazy. In the news recently, Tracy Morgan caught all sorts of heat because apparently on, like, a stand-up thing, I didn't hear it personally, but on a stand-up thing, he had bugged out and went on some anti-gay thing or something like that.
Wow.
So, comedy's comedy, like, to a certain extent. Obviously, there's a point where you cross over to, like, you know, what Michael Richards Kramer did, and then obviously it's not comedy anymore. You're just kind of bugging the fuck out, you know?
Yeah.
Well, my thing is the next thing that they did is they did the whole, okay, well, now you gotta talk to GLAAD and you got to work with GLAAD. And the next thing they said is you got to meet with the families of murdered children that were gay and killed because they were gay. And my thing is, okay, now I guess that might give him a wake-up call and say, wow, I'm really wrong. But do the families of the people who had murdered children, like, what did they do
to
deserve?
Was gay bashing?
Where do they sign up to talk to people that hate their fucking type?
Right, no, not even only that, but let me tell you something. Even if the motherfucker said something wrong, what the fuck country is this? What do you mean he's got to go talk to somebody? You know what I mean? What if he wants to fucking sit and say all day long, I hate fags? If he wants to do that, then people should, you know, some people with a brain will not like him. But
I agree.
Why the fuck
is
he opposed to do something? What is this fucking shit? You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
it's to save his
what is
his
he, bad, in third, is he bad in third grade? He's bad in third grade? He has detention now? You know what I mean? Where are they fucking coming up with this shit at? What law is this? A hate crime? Because he was making un-PC jokes? I didn't hear none of this shit, and I am certainly not. We all know me. I love everybody except for fucking people that are assholes and faggot backstabbing fucking politicking punks. But I'm just saying.
No, I understand that.
Right. I don't agree with any gay bashing or nothing like that, but I agree with the right to gay bash if that's the fucking who you are. That's all I can say. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like the KKK, but if you want to learn a wrestling promotion in Alabama, you can.
No, but I agree with what you're saying. Yeah, it's a free country and everything like that. But my whole thing is, like, if I had a child that ended up being gay and then they got killed for being gay, there is no way in hell I'm talking to the next motherfucker that makes an anti-gay fucking comment to help his image. Fuck that.
Right. That doesn't make any sense at all.
Like, why would they have to go through that?
That's
like, remember how your son got killed?
All,
this guy just said some fucked up shit.
You're making a great point because that's like punishing them. What the fuck did they do wrong?
Exactly. That's how I felt. I'm like, wow, you're dragging them even further through the fucking
Yeah, I'm proud of you, man. Your shit has just been getting really good for weeks now, man. Your shit's really you're coming into your own there, Mr. J. Cat Morris. You really are. You made so many valid points. See, I always know you're a smart dude. You know what I mean? People are stupid.
Yeah,
but
Billy.
Since you started your show, your shit has been getting more and more poignant, and you've been getting to some very, you know, like you just see right through fucking smoke, and you get to the fucking point. Okay, it's like one. Fucking who? Why do they want to talk to him? You know what I mean? Number two.
Yep.
Why the fuck can someone fucking force him to fucking do that shit anyway if he said some dumb shit? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And fucking what does that have to do even if the fucking guy isn't cool? I don't know. I don't know Tracy Morgan. I don't know. I don't know him. I don't know, like, what's real? What's not fucking real? I don't know.
Right.
I mean, I just seem to think that, like, a lot of shit has become not equal rights but has just become completely slanted in the way, you know, anything PC, you know, people are forced into, you know what I mean? Like, forced into it. That's just as dangerous as being hate speech to me is just, so somebody fucks up, now you got to go, I have to go say this or I have to go do that. It's like, what the fuck is this shit? Like, there's real shit going on that's going to kill everybody on the fucking planet, but nobody's doing nothing to them, but fucking comedians are fucking saying faggot and we're making it a fucking national headline, you know? Mm-hmm. Motherfuckers are saying faggot on every street corner, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And now these poor parents lost their son.
That's not my opinion, but I'm not going to make a fucking mountain out of a molehill. You know what? There's people calling people stupid motherfucker, retard, asshole, white boy, cracker, spick, nigger, chink, kite, dyke, Jew, wop, fucking all of it. Prairie nigger.
And then there's the people who like DJ.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, who's that? Oh, we already know who that is.
Well, I said, you know, you said there's people calling people all of that. And I said, and then there's the people who...
Hey, what is Eric? You there, Eric?
Eric.
Did he go to sleep again?
I don't know.
Eric. Yeah, I'm right here.
Eric,
what does DJ Hyde use for birth control? His personality.
Yeah.
Hey, Billy,
real quick.
Yo, check this out.
Billy, real quick.
Check it out. Drake Younger is so dumb that fucking he got 7 vasectomies and he can't figure out how his wife keeps getting pregnant.
real quick, though, Billy, answer this question for me. What the fuck is a DJ act?
His act?
What the fuck is his act?
You mean like his act, like how he acts? Like
what is he supposed to be? What the fuck is he supposed to be?
He puts over his friends. And then he says one thing to your face and then says something else when your back is turned. He calls me, I can't shut my mouth, and then he messages fans and talks shit about me. That's his act.
He fucking tells people...
Are you talking about his act?
He tells people need to shut their mouth, but then he can't fucking shut his own fucking mouth.
Right,
like, the only time that motherfucker shuts his mouth is when he's fucking eating a donut or something.
This is the first time I fucking even said anything bad about him since all this shit started. You hear me say something bad about him? Till now? I don't care now because I'm fucking Indian. I'm drunk. I don't fucking care.
Well, I mean, we got plenty of time, Billy. I figure we'll take this minute. We'll take a break. Eric, play that Macho Man promo, and we'll come back and we'll talk some more.
Ooh, Jay, wait. 1 second.
Listen. What?
I got somebody here who wants to talk to you. Hold on. Oh, yeah. Jay Cat Morris. I was standing here, brother. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Play my promo.
play the promo, Eric. You're in the
match. Oh, my God.
Find me on WhereIsSavage.com.
This is the Razor Ramon one.
Okay.
Hey, what's with that boy being all drunk?
Yeah. Gotta understand the fact that I am pointing at you right now. You're the only one left. Yeah. Don't even think about Survivor Series because you're not going to even make it that far. One-on-one, yeah, just in case you thought that I was hiding behind somebody else. But I never was. You're the guy that wears the gold, yeah. Ric Flair does not. I don't wear the gold. You quit to point that out all the time, aren't you? But your gold is not the gold of the World Wrestling Federation Championship belt. You've got fool's gold, and you're the biggest fool that I've ever met in my entire life. And I'm inviting you to come see me and to get it straightened out all in one night. Yeah, Macho Man. Randy Savage versus Razor Ramon. I am one half of the Ultimate Maniacs, and you are half of what you even thought you were before, and you weren't much before. Razor Ramon, I'm going to beat you and beat you flat, dig it?
Give me 1 second. I'm with J-Cat and Billy back on. And 1 second.
Okay.
Yeah. Something.
Oh, I told you to stop playing the Macho Man clip.
You don't even have to worry about making it to Cage of Death, brother, because you're the man.
This is a different Macho Man clip.
You're the man with the pencil in his hand that wrote out Billy Graham. Well, guess what, DJ? You weren't much before, and you're nothing now. And if one of my guys ever gets his hands on you, they're going to beat you flat. I mean flat. I'm sorry. You didn't
figure. I don't know why that played. That must have been a screw-up. That must have been an outro on one of the Macho Man
problems. Let me tell you something, Razor Ramon. I saw you being carried to the ring, brother. Yeah, carried to the ring. And I'm one half of the ultimate voice from heaven speaking and saying, boy, you're fucked up.
but you're not as fucked up as DJ Hyde.
Dig it for sure. So yeah, man. That's some crazy shit, man. What else you want to talk about, Billy?
The one thing about the Macho Man. Did you ever notice how close he was to I am the President of the United States, and I have one thing that I have to say. I am not a television antenna. Richard Nixon, people. Oh, yeah. Nixon madness running wild.
What's your thoughts on the...
I should say, I don't know what you said at the beginning of the show, but, you know, like, yeah, like, is anybody... I completely don't understand what the fuck is happening in my world, in my life, what planet I live on. You guys have been around me. Is there a big sign on my back that I can't read?
No, I would hope not. But no, what I did in the beginning of the show is I gave my deepest condolences to you for the loss of your friend, and, you know, I did the best I could to tribute someone and, you know, just give a good shout-out to someone that I never met before, but that I feel really bad.
You've seen him, right? He played the Undertaker in that promo.
Yeah, I mentioned
that. And we did the Carnage Cup. But, yeah, for those who don't get the details, you know, my brother Rob Lucas and I, Monday afternoon, 4:30 in the afternoon, went and found our brother Johnny here in our house here, hanging by a rope by his neck in the closet, dead in front of us. And so his service is tomorrow night, and we're burying him on Saturday.
That's terrible, man. It's really nothing I could even say to...
And now my
help
fucking woman, my woman in L.A. is, like, in communication because her fucking ex-husband has pulled some kind of shit on her with, like, taking all her shit, her phone, threatening to take a kid away and all this other psycho shit. So I don't even have her to talk to right now, who was just here on the weekend with me, you know. So I'm about fucking just, man, I am fucking seriously just fucking sick of shit, man. I am sick of shit. That's why my lips are loose tonight, because I just... You know what, really, like, what the fuck, I was really happy, though. Everybody, man, that was at the show on Saturday night, and I got all these messages. I even had some of the guys from the locker room contacting me after the show, telling me about that cool banner, and
yep.
That they were chanting my name while DJ was trying to wrestle, and that there was Cult Fiction Chants, and there's Cult Fiction Chants when they introduced 13, and...
Yeah, he cracked a smile for sure.
Did he smile?
Yes, he did. He sure did.
Well, all I can say,
if you actually watch his entrance, he threw the hook.
Oh, did he? Cool, man. Cool.
Yeah, he did like a crazy thing, and then Danny like actually mimicked him and did it too.
For real?
Yeah, like Danny like mimicked him like he was a joke and fucking threw the hook too. Like,
yeah, but Danny's still all right. That guy. They said my name in their promo and shit. Like, I'm sure that didn't go over with fucking Vince Crackman.
Well, it is what it is, Billy. You know.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell was he doing while people were chanting my name, and why didn't Mondo win? That's what I want to know.
Well, they actually had Greg Excellent run in, hit his finisher on DJ, and DJ still goes over.
Oh, so he's Superman now.
Oh, apparently.
He's Superman.
I mean,
but I don't get the business.
That's kind of like a face move, if anything. But
wait a minute. I don't get the business, right? I don't get the business. The time you do that in
you're going into business for yourself.
That's right. Listen, the time you do that in the wrestling business, if the guy runs in and hits his finisher on a guy behind the ref's back or whatever, the guy doesn't kick out. When does this shit start? This is basic violation.
And if you do, it's a face triumphant thing, not a heel.
Or you better be the fucking goddamn... That's right. Like the Ultimate Warrior or Hulk Hogan or some shit, I guess they could do that. But when you're a bad guy?
No.
How the fuck does that work? That would be poetic justice. Like,
yeah.
I'm just saying, what was the point of building the kid, finally bringing him out of the fucking closet, like, so to speak, not that, the closet, bringing them off the shelf, right, put this hype into something, the people interested, the only purpose of that would be to put him over. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then guess what? DJ, your heel heat's better because that's how you're all frustrated and pissed because, you know, a big badass got cheated and you got beat. And then you can cry and you can complain and be a sore loser. And that's how you, that's heel heat. Not,
yeah.
Oh, I booked myself to just look like Superman.
Yeah.
Whatever. They should bring me back as a drunken Indian. That's what they should do. Because then I just come
he's
there
now
drunk.
Stealing AR, no, well, kind of AR Fox, but he's stealing Adam Cole, Sami Callihan, and fucking several deathmatch wrestlers' thunder while being a heel. Like, he is now turned into this heel, which again just places himself wherever things are popular. And
that
promo
last month sucked, man. That promo was terrible. Who believes he's the most powerful man in wrestling? He's powerful man in wrestling because he kills Billy Graham.
He thinks he's powerful. He fucking thinks he's powerful. That motherfucker is whack.
No, but he killed Billy Graham. He killed Cult Fiction. He's powerful, man.
That's the
news. He can't kill Cult Fiction. Yeah, everybody remember when I said a couple weeks ago on the message boards, I will be there?
Yeah.
I will be there at the show?
Yeah.
I was sitting up here with this chick in my bed right here in Stamford, Connecticut, but was I there?
Nice.
Was I there? I was there because they were chanting my name while he was in the ring. And I'm not even a fucking wrestler. So was I telling the truth? I was there. Ha-ha.
Yeah,
I didn't even have to leave Stanford, and I was there. probably did more good for my career sitting here.
I just think the big deal with that is that, like, people need to understand in the business there's a difference between being a heel that makes you a bad guy and being a heel that makes people not even want to come to the show. And when you own the show... That's a fucking very thin line that you might want to pay attention to.
I concur. I concur, sir. I wholeheartedly concur. How can you, first of all, I think that Benny last week was saying some good shit when he said you should just fill one role, okay? Because there's been some exceptions, okay? But you know what? When Dusty was fucking booking NWA and he was in those main feuds and shit like that, were the Horsemen not still keeping the belts most of the time? Were they not winning most of the time, even though he was booking himself against them and he was a good guy? Or did he just say, you know what, I'm Dusty Rhodes, I'm the booker, I'm always going to look good in all this shit. You know, I'm never going to lose. I'm going to, you know what I mean? Like, I just do not get, Little Mondo should have won that match, man. I think people would have really liked
it's ridiculous.
To see him. I think they could have built a new star by you know, because he's got a lot of haters and shit like that, man. The kid can work. He's, like, in good shape. He's been busting his fucking balls. You know, he's not just coming out here like some kid who fucking tried to get in it 2 months ago. And, you know, he's got a connection to the fan base because he's one of them. You know what I mean? He's one of the locker room. He's one of the family. He's one of the fans. He's everything all in one. He's an underdog. You know, and for him to have been in TOD would have been fucking cool, man. Like, that would have been really cool.
It sure would have,
you know?
But I don't understand the putting yourself over shit when you're a heel and you're an owner. Because when you are out there as definitely the face of the company, being an owner, and clearly tell the fans, I don't give a fuck about you people, some people might take it seriously, dude. And
I think 4 weeks of ignoring all the support for me and for Cult Fiction, I think that's pretty telling. I mean, I don't know. While your houses are down and, you know what I mean, and you have people that buy tickets that ain't going to come to the show because of it. You buy people that have tickets that are buying tickets that ain't happy because you can give them something that's in your reach. And let's face it, this shit telling fans to be on their back, oh, it's not worth it because of the money. It's like, oh, yeah, man, they bought me a car, right? I get paid so much there, right? Because we all know the reason I'm working in CZW is because I get paid, right? Because I get a lot of money. That's why I come in. If they cut me out, they can bring in fucking Onita and shit, you know what I mean? Because I'm just costing the company like man, I put them in the red last year with my paycheck. You know what I mean? Like, oh my God. It's for anyone to even say I'm not worth what they're giving me. That's the most ridiculous shit I ever heard in my life.
That's the most ridiculous
shit of all the stupid shit, of all the stupid fucking lies, of all the crap that they fucking have spewed behind my back. That anybody that swallows that shit, you know what I mean, has got to be, I want to sell them Manhattan for $100, man. For $100 fucking motherfucking dollars, I will sell you Manhattan, because that's what kind of sap you are if you believe any of the reasons that are put out there of why I'm not there by them are not true. Are not true. And you know what? I don't give a motherfucker has a sense of humor either. I really don't. Like, stop taking your motherfucking selves so fucking goddamn fucking seriously, guilty parties.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I made a Three Stooges paste up. How dare I? I made fun of Jesus, right? You know what I mean? I made fun. I pissed on a Bible, and I burned a flag when I fucking glued somebody's head on a fucking thing of curly, right? You know what I mean?
That's ridiculous. But either way, man.
I went from red wine to Guinness stout, extra stout. It's pretty good.
Oh, jeez.
Black.
They're actually, they're running good shows right now, but the bottom line is, like, the way he is paving the road as the owner, that paved road is leading off the fucking, the edge of the fucking earth. It's leading off a cliff, and that's bottom line. Like, the bottom is going to fall out. He doesn't have loyal followers.
Who the fuck heard what Benny had to say last week that thinks there's any debate about who's on the level and who's, you know, got their head screwed on right, who's telling the truth and shit like that? I mean,
Benny
bombed last week, man. He thought about everything he had to say. He wasn't throwing nobody under the bus for no reason. I haven't been either, man.
No.
Even the little jokes I made tonight, I'm sorry, compared to the shit that has been said about me to fans in private, behind my back, like, I still haven't done nothing compared to what they did to me. It's just fucking bullshit, and I'm supposed to just fucking shut up and take it for what? Oh, so if I shut up and take it, what, you're going to bring me back as the world heavyweight champion? Am I going to get a dollar raise? Is that what's going to happen if I shut up and suck dick and kiss ass?
It's
fuck you, man.
Too much
I'm
of a hostile environment at this point. It's really not worth it, honestly.
Hey, man, Dawn Marie just sent me a friend request.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We've talked before.
I met her in, like,
I like her.
99, 98.
She's a nice lady.
Nice.
She's a very nice lady.
But, Billy, I think we're pretty much about to call it a night, so,
Why? Wait, we didn't, there's got to be something else we can talk about, like,
oh, well, what do you got? I'm tired of this.
Okay, well, let's talk about,
the living sausage.
Okay, how about this? Okay, first of all, just let's look at the state of the whole situation in general, man, I mean, of wrestling. Like, I, myself, have no great faith in this ROH purchase, because the people that bought the company are not wrestling people. And I think that for a year, ROH is going to come out looking like they're the third contender. And that
Ring of Honor. That's a good topic. Go ahead.
Yep. And I think that, you know, obviously the company that bought them is a multimedia giant. They have 58 TV stations. But do a little digging into the history of that company. 6 years ago, they almost declared bankruptcy because they had to refinance on 11 point whatever the fuck trillion dollar debt. They've been in constant controversy by doing shit like playing TV commercials that said that Obama advocated killing white people. And, you know, in two elections ago with John Kerry, the week of the election, they were called out by the government because 10 days before the election, they put on this documentary claiming that John Kerry's anti-war stance prolonged the Vietnam War. I mean, these guys got, like, all this weird shit, man, like, in their, like, closet of, like, how they function as a business. They've been sued by Time Warner. They've been sued by several other multimedia groups for antitrust laws because they're buying up, like, you know, they'll have like an NBC affiliate and a Fox affiliate and an ABC affiliate in the same market, you know, shit like that. Like, so how these guys, I don't care how much money they have, who have no background in the wrestling business, have no understanding of the wrestling business, and then they're going to come out and they're going to just go, oh, yeah, here's the cash cow. We'll make, look out, Vince McMahon. You know what I mean? Like, I don't buy it.
Yeah.
Like, so for a year, guys, grab those paydays while they're coming, man. But don't make any long. I wouldn't make a 5-year plan on that paycheck.
Don't
coming.
Go buy
it. I would finance myself that
back,
way.
By the way.
And then I hear that I heard that the Grand Wizard is going to start running more than one show a year.
Who's that?
Kevin Brannon, IWA Deep Crap, Deep Shit. I heard he's going to start running more than one show a year.
I'm sure they'll be
cool
highly
because,
successful because
you know what's awesome?
He runs that theme show, that deathmatch show that a lot of people dress up as chairs, and I think that's really cool. But,
cool. You know what
you
they
know?
Should do? They should have a fucking show called Stab Cup.
Stab Cup.
Yeah, where everybody just comes out and stabs each other the whole fucking night. And then the big shocker is I come out with a bow and arrow and I shoot someone with a Fred Bear with a fucking razor tip. And that's
hell yeah. I'll buy the DVD. Oh, wait.
And this person would be awesome.
Make,
like,
do
he,
they sell
he,
DVDs?
Yo, if he would put an apple on his head and I would come out dressed like Robin Hood and then I would try to chew it off his head.
Completely misfire through his mouth.
I would drink as much as I did the night first. You know what I mean? I'll bet people pay to see that shit. But you know what's fucked up about me not... See, me and Lane, we got fucked by being... Because, you know, by being blackballed by him, you know what we did to ourselves? You know what we robbed ourselves of? Whenever again will Lane or myself get to sit in a locker room and hear such classic wrestling dialogue as, well, I guess I'll have to put that spick over. Oh, wow, man, I can't believe that nigger's pretty good. Wow, look at that spook work. You know, like,
who's that?
Kevin Savion? Brannon. This is the kind of shit.
He was talking about who?
Well, I wasn't there for the spook term. That one I heard.
I think he was talking about Savion, wasn't he?
He was talking about spook. He was talking about Savion. Yeah, but I don't want to cause no shit, but I'm just saying that I heard in my own ears this February him say, I guess I have to put
it
out.
No, but I mean, it's been put out there before. I definitely heard that. Why
I guess,
said it because
but I'm saying I heard him say, I guess I have to put the spick over. And I didn't say nothing then because I didn't want nobody tripping, you know what I mean? But, you know, like, you know, do your investigative work. Who won the Carnage Cup and who was of Latina descent? That was in
yeah.
the Carnage Cup. I mean, you know, but I'm not going to tell my friend that shit because then we would have to beat them all up. You know what I mean? Because my boy tripped out, man. I love Pinky, man. You know what I mean? That's my boy, man.
He's awesome dude, man.
Yeah.
I've seen him
yeah.
right after his fucking match
with
the Bulldozer on.
I don't want him to hear that shit when he's got to go out there and put his fucking neck on the line. Like, right. Like this in the cornflakes. I was just kind of trying to figure out, like, who knew and who didn't know and, like, who was
well, speaking
and,
of
like,
Pinky, and speaking of the Bulldozer, because you had worked with him briefly on IWA Deep South, and he just beat Pinky to find his
yep.
way into Tournament of Death. And,
yep.
you know, what's your thoughts on Matt Tremont?
I love Matt Tremont, and if Matt Tremont wasn't Cult Fiction, I wouldn't have put him in Cult Fiction, you know? You know, like, that's the bottom line. That's another thing, no matter what. You know, I know how Matt feels about it. I know how Matt feels about being a part of Cult Fiction. But you know, it's like anybody. Like, it's like somebody questioned me the other week. Well, if Masada or 13 are loyal to Cult Fiction, it's like, you know what, dude? Like, look how long 13 had to work to get to where he could be somebody that they would be putting in those events like that. You know what I mean? So
right.
Do I expect him to quit CZW unless he's allowed to be part of Cult? You know, I know. What if they'll kill me this way, okay, if they'll treat Masada the way that he's been treated, what the fuck is 13 supposed to do about it? So do I want him to stop? Do I, guess what, when he came out there last week, were people chanting Cult Fiction? Did he throw that hook? Did he smile? Yes. So guess what? It goes without saying. And so with Tremont, I know for a fact that he was hoping that it would have been that way with us there. You know what I mean? And, you know, but here he's a guy that's just breaking in or whatever. So, hey, if he's got to break in as DJ Hyde's fucking partner, more power to him. I don't got no, you know what I mean? And I would, if some other promoter called me up and said, you know, okay, we want a book called Fiction, who should we call? It would be like, oh, yeah, like call Masada, call Toby, call 13, call Tremont. Like, I would say that in a minute and go do it somewhere else with him. You know, I would in a heartbeat because I love the guy. You know what I mean? I think the guy, I think he's the breakout star. I think he's going to freak everybody out at TOD for those that are still going to go.
Yeah, I think he's awesome. What is your thoughts on, you know, the down, diehard fucking, you know, original members of Cult Fiction? If they were to come back without the Cult Fiction label, the Brain Damages, the Tobys, the, those type of guys, like, what is your feelings on that?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and act like they haven't already. Like, the bottom line is, man, look, here's your bombshell for tonight. They've all been made offers to come back without me. And it's a simple matter of divide and conquer, you know what I mean? And so what are my feelings? My feelings are, how can I be mad at my friends if they don't see that we had a chance by fucking staying real to affect things for the positive in all ways, you know, in the creative level for all the workers, in the level of, you know, cutting down on the bullshit and being a real family, like what Benny was talking about is gone now, you know, and that's what, and that's the very same reason why they did what they've done, is jealousy and fucking trying to divide and conquer and being resentful of people that actually, when you listen, when you're a friendless motherfucker and people stab, like, they smile in your face and go, yeah, yeah, dude, and then you walk away and you're a fucking laughing stock, I guess I can understand why you're jealous of people that have real brothers and real friends, you know what I mean? You know, maybe if you fucking acted for real and you weren't two-faced and you didn't talk shit behind people's backs and you didn't just favor, you know, people that are up your ass and you fucking, you know, you prove that your words were good. Hey, DJ Hyde told me I always have a place in the company as long as he's running things. That's what he told me the day he took over. And what? Oh.
He's a bullshit artist, as some would say.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So guess what? Why do you think you don't have no real fucking friends, man? You know? Like, so guess what? No matter what happens, Cult Fiction still is real in a way that they fucking can resent it for the rest of their fucking lives, as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, Toby and Deranged and Brain Damage and Masada and fucking 13 and Matt Tremont, those guys will always be my brothers, man. You know what I mean? Just like a lot of other guys in that locker room, like fucking Benny, like fucking the Blackout, man, like
yeah.
I mean, fucking Pinky. I could keep going. Drew Gulak, man. I love fucking Drew Gulak, man. I think that guy, I know we don't agree.
Yeah,
with
and that's the thing. Let me check the clock because this is something that I wanted to get in because I got cut off last week and it made me look like a douchebag. And what it comes down to is with Drew Gulak, here's my thing. The reason I say he doesn't get the business is because of this. I think he's like a Dean Malenko. Like, he's like a guy who does nothing wrong in the ring. I think he accents and fucking makes the other guy look better always.
Yeah.
He's not a guy who stands out as his own, you know, like his own draw or his own, you know, he doesn't have that, like, that AR Fox or that Sammy Callahan, that he's a guy that brings attention to himself. However, he also makes a match a whole lot better for being in it.
Yeah.
Well, that's very respectable. When he turns his heel into, and this is the same thing I'm saying with DJ, you turn certain heel into, like, real being a douchebag. He does a lot of that. He goes a little bit overboard with that. And like with the
Gage thing. I don't know what you mean because I've just never seen it. You know what I mean? Like I don't know what you mean.
Like with the Gage thing. Let's start with the Gage thing.
Yeah,
Gage got
bomb,
legitimately
man.
Locked up for 5 years, and he started running an angle. Like, well,
right, but
there's
don't, no you think Nikki, don't you think Nikki was a part of that? Where do you think he got his belt and his tights and shit at? I mean, his
but
tights.
But there's no payoff.
Well, we didn't know. Nobody knows at that point whether there's going to be a payoff at that point. Nobody knows if at that point Nikki's going to be out in 6 weeks.
At
or 33,
I know there's not going to be a payoff. I mean, you robbed the fucking bank. I know he's not getting the fuck out. And you come out and you
you try
to
build his.
But I'm just saying, I don't think that the idea, or that what they did, was a bad idea. What I think was bad was that they dropped the ball with it and they didn't follow through, like is so often the case. That's 99 times out of 100.
And that's why I got annoyed with it.
Where it started was really good. It was attention grabbing. It was mad fucking heat. It was very disturbing to a lot of people. It was controversial. It was done well when they did the first bit. And the thing is, they needed to take it from there and they needed to build on it. You know, maybe perhaps have him
do what?
Humiliating every other classic character in the history of CZW till one of them comes out of the curtain and says, "You know what, motherfucker, I'm here." You know, something like that. Like I think
maybe,
it was a good.
Maybe.
I think it was a really good creative idea. And I also think at the start of it, you know, if you go back to what they were doing between those guys, like, you know, in the couple months before Cage of Death, and then with him being the ref with Nikki's match at Cage of Death, like, you know, I think they were building up something good with those guys. You know what I mean? And I think that, you know, the situation with Nikki kind of like. You know, it left Drew in a situation. Fuck, here's what we've been building, you know, and there was a plan with that. I mean, it's just like, hey, there's a place I can sympathize with DJ right now. I mean, I didn't write this one down, you know, but anyway, as far as the dynamic of running a company, I mean, I know there was huge plans with Mox, you know what I mean? And now he's got to adjust.
Well,
well,
of course.
But it would seem to me, man, well, while you're trying to adjust, you know, you might not want to throw yourself and everything, and you might not want to burn some guys that are staples that the fan base is connected to, because, you know, guess what? I don't care if half the locker room is fucking cool and half isn't. Like, the bottom line is, if half the fan base has spoken and find me to be entertaining, then why the fuck do you want to ignore that?
Well,
there's so much,
like, the
shit
thing is,
doing.
It's like I caught, like, douche shit on the whole thing with Gulak and Gage. I didn't think that was a good thing because I see, well, I'm not a fucking psychic, but I could see how things are going to develop in the future. You know, I could see, like, where are you going to go with this? Well, Gage is not getting out. That's fucking period, bottom line. Now, if his brother, who is sparked up and actually, like, he was legitimately mad about the shit when he started spewing it, if he comes out of fucking retirement and then comes back, well, then maybe you have something. But outside of that, there's nowhere this shit can go. So now it's just garbage, and you're just using the guy that's not here anymore to fucking try to boost yourself. And
right.
I didn't like it. So that's
right.
The situation.
I'm just saying,
whatever.
I don't think that, but I really don't think where it went was Drew's fault. I just don't, you know. And sometimes, I mean, how many times I know I've been in a position with my guys where something started and was going the right way. I mean, look at our whole year last year. For 6 months, that shit was strong, man. And then fucking, you know, the rocket scientist took over it, you know. And then what happened? You know what I mean? And so we tried to go out there every night and fucking, okay, well, this is half-ass. You know, this doesn't make any fucking sense. You know,
But
I mean,
my thing, like, where I wanted to go to extend where, like, I caught my actual heat and everything else, like, where I got annoyed with Drew was last week. They were just spewing. They were fucking putting out nonstop fucking shitty promos for Little Mondo. And, you know, I expressed my opinion on that. And I even talked to Rory after the show and everything like that. And he was like, yo, thanks, guys. Oh, you like it? Da, 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 da. And he's like, oh, you were talking shit. And I'm like, dude, you already know. Like, I hated the fucking promos because you're doing fucking MMA drills to prepare for a deathmatch tournament. Like, it looks like fucking shit. And he's like, nah, I understand, dude. I understand. And I fucking love Rory. I always have. Since he was fucking 10 years old in 2001 and dressing up like Mondo with a cigarette
written
on his forehead, I fucking love this kid. You know?
Right.
So it's nothing like that. And I always supported Drew, too. So I had said some shit like that on the thing on Facebook. And I said, yeah, what a shitty promo, da da da. So then Drew comes on and tries to play kayfabe and says, fucking. Yeah, at least he's training. DJ's probably eating 30 McNuggets. And I said, well, good luck with that fade, bro. I still don't give a shit. And then he fucking goes, so says the faggot with the tiger stripe, or the Siegfried and Roy tattoos.
Siegfried and Roy? Oh.
Yeah, the
Siegfried
and Roy tattoos.
You know, look, you know I love your tattoo, and I just... Listen, I know Drew well enough personally. I just, you know what I mean? Like, that, to me, that's just Kim, like, it's what you just said. I mean, just like in real life, I mean, the guy, I'm not trying to ruin business for him. I'm just saying, like, there's not a lot of guys that are as stand up as he is in that locker room, you know what I mean? And so, I mean, knowing him in real life, like, he just isn't that kind of cat, like, at all, you know what I mean? So I think I think very obviously that that's another place where I'll give him the props, that he's not one of these guys running his mouth like me right now. He's like a guy that's trying to, like, respect the business and be kayfabe and play the character out there, you know what
I
mean?
But, I mean,
like,
I could have easily took that personal and said, fuck, I'm not going to this fucking show. This guy is personally attacking me.
Right,
you know?
But
I'm attacking,
saying, you're
a character.
Jake Marsh, and now, look, you're on the radio every week. You're now, you know, you're a public critic now. So that's the
reason. Not really.
But I'm saying still, that's also, on the other hand, that's also another reason why nobody should be getting personally mad at you for your opinions. Because, I mean, you're still promoting the fuck out of CZW, and you've been going for how long? So you give a fuck about it enough to do this and enough to think about it that much, enough to talk about it that much. You know, that's one thing. Like, sometimes, like, it's different when you're just someone that's going to shit on something just to shit on it. But obviously, you all the time give props to things and you acknowledge things. I mean, even when you're sitting here saying certain things you don't like about somebody, you're still saying something that you do like about them. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean,
so what I said was,
what more of a compliment could a wrestler have than someone saying that he makes anybody he's in a match with look better?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you started with that. So,
I think,
I mean,
he does.
I would
and that's what I didn't get out last week. But
I would think in real life, Drew would realize that that's a real compliment. You know what I mean? But I mean,
and
I can't.
My response was,
because, like I said, he's just a guy that I have in real life. I have so much respect for him. I love him so well, and I know him.
I understand that.
I got to know him away from the business. Like, we've actually hung out, like, not at wrestling, like, not in a locker room, like, under other social circumstances. And, you know, he's a person who actually gives a fuck about me in real life, just like you know what I mean? And you know, so it's like, I just can't. I'm just telling you, man, straight up, dude, like, that was just him. He's just trying to stay the character and do whatever, and plus he doesn't want his brother's confidence to get shaken when he's got all eyes on him, you know what I mean? Like, I just still say, like, the whole thing of, like, that would have been a wonderful thing. I mean, really? If, to me, what would have made sense is after the way that DJ and Greg Excellent were, like, feuding with each other and shit like that.
Right.
And now DJ's putting this group of loyalists together around them, you know what I mean, like the S-Kisser clique and shit like that. It would have been way cooler if Excellent ran out there, looked like he was going to fuck up DJ, and then turned around and fucking hit Lil Mondo with the move. And then Mondo gets up and it's like, oh, me and DJ are still butt buddies, we made up, you know what I mean? Like, and then still somehow Mondo overcame that interference. That would have really given him, like, that would have made the fans happy. That would have made people pop. That would have made them believe in somebody going into something.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's just what I would have. I would have done that. But
so
let's, I know,
just to get out there, because what I said back to him, you know, because the listeners haven't heard this part, but what I said back to him, I said, for the record, Drew, although it's cute that you're running to defend your little brother on Facebook, I don't have a problem with him or what he's doing. Honestly, I hope he does well. My problem is these promos make him look like a joke. I'm going to be in a deathmatch tournament. Watch me do push-ups. Look stupid. But don't listen to me. Read everybody else's comment on this video. Don't get your spandex panties in a bunch. LOL. That was my comment. I moved on. It's not a big deal to me.
Between that and Siegfried and Roy, you guys are just chopping away, man.
Well, like, you know, he had to get personal. Come on, man. You're running around in spandex panties, dude. Settle down. Fucking on my tattoo. Oh, it's so cute.
Good Lord.
Fuck out of here.
But, I think if Drew was being given the right script and the right opponents, I think he certainly is nowhere near his peak, and I really do think he can be a really great star.
He was given a title for 6 months that he really didn't do shit with, other than just play a new heel and get put up against.
But it just was. Who was really interested in who he was feuding with at that time, and where was the? So you got to, you can put this has always been, look, I've always been the one the whole time going, we need better storylines, we need better character development, we need better angles. We have the greatest wrestling going on in the ring. There are spot fests, there are exhibitions of technical prowess, but you're not getting over the way you should doing those things because there's not enough attention paid to continuity, to character development, to a storyline. This is 2011. It is not 1964. And fuck it, in 1964 they still had better tension. If you don't give a fuck who wins the match, how can the person build from it? If you don't have a vested interest in it, if you're not going in there going like, God damn, I hope this motherfucker beats Drew Gulak. You know what I mean? Like, I hate fucking Drew Gulak. Man, I hate that fucking...
Since he brings me to the point where I want to walk out of the building, is I don't right. even root against him anymore. But when I when I actually legitimately start to dislike somebody, like, I'll look at the floor for the entire match. Like, I'm stubborn, dude. Right. I'm not the type of person that's going to be like, oh, now you get my heel heat because you're a heel. Like, nah, I'm smart enough to go,
not.
Dude. Fuck
yeah,
off.
Of course not.
DJ,
that's
fuck
no,
off.
I mean, I'm agreeing
it.
With you. I'm saying, but... And see, I just don't think... I think it's a glaring error in what's going on, and I don't really think it's as hard to fix as people think. It's just that...
No,
fucking,
it's not. It's really not.
But
it's like, tweet.
But you know what it is? It's that when you're not a writer, and you don't even have a clue on what a story is, you don't even understand that there's a beginning, a middle... A climax, and you know what I mean? You don't understand three-act. You don't understand the laws of a three-act play. You don't understand a story arc. You don't understand character development. You don't understand the...
Oh, I do. I don't know about DJ.
No, I'm saying you as if you are that person that doesn't. Can't even engage me in the conversation about it. How the fuck are you going to explain to them where it's just so obvious what you're doing wrong, why you're not getting people's attention? That company could be... With the talent that has gone through that door in the last 5 years, that company could be anywhere right now. Anywhere. If the storylines and the character development and the continuity was fucking the shit, and it is not the fault of the physical abilities of the workers in that company, it is not the fault of their ability to be actors, it is not the fault of their ability to have charisma, it's not their ability to wrestle. All of that is there. There's so much. At any given point in the last 11 years, there is so much star potential in CZW, and there still is right now. But instead of it being like a big, like a big amusement park ride where everybody's going up the hill and everybody gets to ride into the loop. You know what I mean? It's like, it's kind of like just helter skelter on who. You know, who gets over and how it even works. And like, I mean, a lot of times things that would have been considered mediocre are getting over because it's against something else that's so abysmal. You know what I mean? And that's not the, oh, well, at least this doesn't suck as bad as that. I mean, that's, you know what I mean? Like everybody, instead of being worried about whether somebody else is more popular on the show, my attitude is always should be that like, if I'm going to do my best. My guys are going to do our best. But if we do our best and we're the worst thing on the show, then I know we're in a company that is fucking going somewhere. You know what I mean? Because I know we're not going to suck.
Well, Billy, we got to close the show out. You're more than welcome to call in next week, as you so often do, and we're very grateful for that. And
man. Who's on the show next week?
Nobody as of now, but who knows, man. I know we got Joker
start.
Coming
you
on soon. We have Robbie coming back on soon.
No fucking way, dude.
Huh?
That's awesome, man. I got to call him. He sent me a note today, and he's worried about me. I got to call him tomorrow. I don't want to call him late.
Cool,
I saw
man.
It when I came in before I came in with you. I was out drinking.
Well, thank you for coming on again, Billy. Keep your head up.
Dude, I got to help you. I got to help you get some guests, man, out of the CZW.
Not a problem, dude. Hit me up. You know my number.
I got to figure it out. I got to find somebody, man.
All right, my man.
All right, well, listen, Eric, call Fiction to Death, motherfucker. And, you're listening to Cult Fiction with Eric Williams, J. Cat Morris, Yakuza Kick Radio, the Cult Fiction compound to the death.
See you later, Billy.
Oh, yeah. See you later, brother.
All right. We're going to close out the show. I would like to thank Serena Chase for showing up first night listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. She stayed up late and everything else. What a wonderful person. And thanks for Juan calling in. First time ever calling in. Long time listener. Thanks for Fredo calling in. Thanks for Billy, as always, doing what Billy does best. Speak to us. And, you know, just everybody keep supporting. We'll see you next week, 9 o'clock Eastern. And www.blogtalkradio.com/YKR online. Check us the fuck out. For Eric Williams, I am J. Cat Morris. Peace.